Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, y'all, let's get ready. Extraordinary time. Black Prince. Hey, play my music. Yeah.
Here we go.
Let's
get it, yo. I'm just being ordinary, but my ordinary is your extraordinary. So you think I'm being extraordinary?
I'm being extra,
but I'm just being ordinary. You think Elder just extra? You think I do the most? You wanna know how I know? The Spirit told me so. How a preacher on the mic in the church flowing? Ain't got the nerve to have your ears and your neck glowing. He just extra. Yeah, he need to stop. He need to get off that prayer line and get a job. He ain't hearing from God. He just being lazy. That stuff he's smoking on, it got him going crazy. But still I call and still I watch and still I listen in. Cause if he make it, I want a piece of them dividends. Y'all right on time. All y'all haters, get y'all pad and pen. Write this down so you won't forget. I want you to remember this. I'm just being ordinary, but my ordinary is your extraordinary. So you think I'm being extraordinary?
Think I'm being extra? That's what they think.
But I'm just being ordinary. I ain't tryna be extra spiritual,
nah,
or extra lyrical. You just don't hear me, yo.
You don't hear.
I just move with the spirit when I feel it. In Christ's name, I'ma kill it. He the realest. Nothing I do no more, it's about to show. Nothing I do no more, it's for the dough. And it's a free download, can't get it in the store. And even bootleggers gon' have it for the low. God with me,
say what?
So ain't no stopping me. You should've stayed down, not to the top of me. Tryna overthrow the boss, that's a conspiracy. Your plans ain't never worked. That's why y'all mad at me. I'm rather G-O-D, because he got my back. Where Elder is weak, he picking up the slack. He blessed me,
why?
So I correct the track. I bet you rewind it and play it back. I body boys on these beats and I ain't trying to. When the spirit moving, I could preach an hour or two. So might as well get comfortable, cause here we go. But before the sermon starts, I had to let you know. That I'm just being ordinary. But my ordinary is your extraordinary. So you think I'm being extraordinary?
Think I'm being extra? That's what they
think. But I'm just being ordinary. I ain't tryna be extra spiritual,
nah,
or extra lyrical. You just don't hear me, yo.
You don't hear.
I just move with the spirit when I feel it.
When I feel it.
In Christ's name, I'ma kill it. He the realest. Listen. That I'm just being ordinary. But my ordinary is your extraordinary. So you think I'm being extraordinary?
Think I'm being extra? That's what they
but
think.
But I'm just being ordinary. I ain't trying to be extra spiritual.
I ain't trying.
Nah. Or extra lyrical. You just don't hear me, yo.
You don't hear.
I just move with the spirit when I feel it.
When I feel it.
In Christ's name, I'm gonna kill it. He the realest.
Listen.
Amen. This is Mr. Extraordinary. Elder Andre Prevost, the Black Prince of Preachers on the MIC. I want to thank everybody for calling in, everybody for tuning in out there on Facebook, out there on YouTube, out there on Blog Talk Radio. I thank God for all of you today. Amen. If you're out there on YouTube, I do remind you, if you're on YouTube, this is pre-recorded. Amen. Pre-recorded, so do not call the number on the screen if you are on YouTube. Do look in the comments and you will see, amen, when our scheduled shows are. And then we welcome you to call in and be a live guest on our show. Call in. Give your opinion. Amen. You ain't got to. We ain't. Look. Amen. We a talk show. Amen. We interviewing regular people. I care less. hey, man, what Paris Hilton got on, I care less what Usher got going on. I care less what Jay-Z got going on. They rich. I don't want to interview them. They ain't got my kind of problems. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So every you out there, you are welcome to call in. Praise God. Amen. We welcome to hear your comments. We welcome to hear your testimonies. Amen. But don't forget about our new show that debuted yesterday, Saturday at 2 o'clock. Get Out of My Business. We got a lot of listeners for that show. Praise God. I guess they saw the title. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's all about, amen, the whole thing is get out of my business if you ain't going to come to me about it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to break it down real quick because this ain't that show, but let me break it down real quick. If you got an issue with something I'm doing, praise God, if you got an issue with me, don't go as so-and-so. Don't go as brother so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Nothing, amen, about what I got going on. Praise God. If you got a question, come straight to me and ask me. Otherwise, get out of my business. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the whole premise. We welcome people that got issues with people. They say, well, the way you come up with this show, I thought you're supposed to be a preacher. I thought everything's supposed to be involved in ministry. It is. Praise God. The Bible says this, before you forgive somebody, see, we always telling you, forgive, forgive, forgive. You need to go forgive. You need to go forgive. You need to go forgive. The Bible says it like this. If your brother sins against you 7 times a day, rebuke him. We skip the rebuke part. That means if I got an issue with you, I need to go let you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. They cut out a lot of ignorant hating. There's a lot of ignorant hating going on. What you mean ignorant hating? Ignorant means you don't know. A lot of people hating on people and mad at people and they wrong. Praise God. Well, I thought the other day when you said this, you meant that. I wasn't even thinking about you. Preachers go through that a lot. We preach a sermon. Well, pastor, you was all up in my business. I wasn't even thinking about you. I don't even know you. Praise God, to be all up in your business. If anybody was in your business, the Holy Spirit was in your business. God was in your business. Jesus was in your business. I wasn't in your business. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We mean when you really want, Elder Prevost did this, I heard, and I'm mad at him because of this. Well, did you tell him? If you ain't told me, if it ain't about, get out of my business. So that's what it's about. If you got an issue, you need to call that number, put it on the air, and you need to tell people that's talking behind your back, get out your business. I don't mind. Whatever you got to ask me, I'll tell you. Praise God. And I'll be honest about it. I ain't got nothing to lie about. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the whole thing of the show. If you ask, a lot of times we scared to ask people. If you ask somebody, then most likely they'll tell you the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But we don't ask nobody. We don't ask no questions. So we got ignorant hating going on. In other words, you hating and that person ain't even mad. Sometimes you mad at somebody for being mad at you. I ain't even mad at you. Elder Prevost mad at me. No, I ain't. Who told you that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I thought when you ain't called me back the other day, I was busy. I forgot. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People don't think. See, you got to think about stuff. When somebody tell you something and you hear their testimony and they testify about something about they done smoke weed most of their life. Praise God. For 20 years out of their life, they done smoke weed. Weed mess with your brain cells. It mess with your memory. Praise God. Sometimes I get up from my bedroom and I'm walking to the kitchen. Time I get to the kitchen, I done forgot what I done came to the kitchen for. Then I got to go all the way back to the bedroom, get back into whatever position I was in and go, oh, that's what I forgot. I need to go get this. And had to go get back up and come back to the kitchen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I forget to call people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I almost missed some money the other day because I forgot, amen, to call in about my money. Praise God. Hallelujah. They give you a certain time to call in. You don't call in about that time, you don't get it. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, almost that time. I forgot to call. Lord have mercy. Praise God. Now, if I'm forgetting to call about my money, and my money is very important, I might just forget to call you. I'm so sorry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I was talking to a young lady about that the other day. Well, not the other day, like last year. Praise God. And she was saying, I got so much stuff to do within the day. I'm tired. I ain't got time to do this, that, and the other. Praise God. It was about going to church on Sunday. She was getting a whole lot of flack because on Sunday she ain't in church or she's either late. And she was telling me, she said, well, Elder, I got so much stuff to do Monday through Saturday. I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm not down to about 10, 11 at night. I'm tired. And she said, ain't Sunday supposed to be a day of rest anyway? Praise God. Hallelujah. I couldn't argue with that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because you can't get mad at somebody for being tired. And it ain't like in the Bible it say on Sunday go to church. It don't say that. Praise God. So I couldn't tell her, well, you need to go to church. Well, don't tell me to go to church on Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was tired. I sat at home and I observed the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. So I took my rest. I was tired. I'll be there next Sunday. I still love the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So I had to understand her point of view of what she was saying. Because all I was hearing was she don't come. She don't come. That's all I'm hearing. And she had to tell me, look, I got stuff to do. I'm tired. Look at my schedule. If you had this schedule, would you come? Nah, I'm thinking, nah, I don't think I'd be right now, sister, if I had that kind of schedule. Praise God. I'd have to call in. Call in tired. Praise God. To church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's go ahead and get started today. Amen. We thank God for everybody called in today, everybody who has tuned in. This is Extraordinary. Praise God. And if you heard the intro song, the words of the intro song say, I'm just being ordinary, but my ordinary is your extraordinary. In other words, things that are extraordinary to you are regular to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. People come up talking about they living their best life. You just started that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's ordinary. Hallelujah. Amen. To go to the doctor and the doctor say something wrong and you all out the doctor just as happy as you want to be. Why are you happy? The doctor just said this. Man, I ain't worried about that doctor. God got the final say. That's ordinary. That's ordinary behavior for a believer in God. I'm not even going to say a Christian. Hallelujah. Because any and everything is a Christian nowadays. Hallelujah. I'm going to say a believer of God, a child of God, a follower of God. How about some people? I'm going to make up a name. Everybody else making up a name. How about some people after God's own heart? Hallelujah. Amen. And even David fell short. Hallelujah. But at least he was after God's heart. If some of us ain't after God's heart, I don't know what we after. Some of us after money. Some of us after notoriety. Some of us after fame. Hallelujah, amen, praise God. But some of us are after God's own heart. And those people that are after God's own heart are extraordinary people. David was an extraordinary person. David was a 14-year-old boy who killed a full-grown 7 to 13-foot giant. That's extraordinary. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. And we believe the word of God is extraordinary. Hallelujah, praise God. We believe that if we believe it, we're going to receive it. We believe, hallelujah, we shall be healed if we ask God to heal us. Praise God. That's extraordinary. People, see, in the world, people hear disease and they think death. Praise God. A believer hears disease and thinks testimony. I can't wait to tell this testimony. Wait till I tell somebody they said I had this. Hallelujah. They ain't going to believe it. They ain't going to believe it. They're what? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's extraordinary things right there. Hallelujah. Not worrying about the light bill. Not worrying about the gas bill, even though it's due. Even though the notice is pink. I ain't worried about that. Praise God. That's like people worry. We don't worry. If you're going to worry about it, don't even bother praying about it. But we believe if you pray about it, it's been fixed. So I ain't got no reason to worry about it. I got some other stuff I can do. Hallelujah. I can use that time more productively besides worrying about something that I basically have. That's what Jesus basically said. Don't worry about tomorrow. You ain't got no control over tomorrow. Just worry about what you can control right now. If you can't control the light bill, don't worry about it. You already made your phone calls. You already testified in church. Somebody, if there ain't nobody in church, get the hint. You know, a lot of times, I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to go to the first topic. A lot of times when we testified in church, we really dry big, and we trying to throw you a hint. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible say everybody, the Bible say we always use the scripture, but we always use it wrong. Hallelujah. This, you know, we bring things out on Extraordinary. But when you hear your pastor tell you faith without works is dead, and he telling you you got to do some work in order to get something, faith without works is dead. That I'm not going to say that ain't true, but if he's talking about the scripture, you need to tell them they wrong. That ain't what that scripture is talking about. If you go back and read the book of James, James is the one that said faith is like works is dead. See, let me tell y'all what this is what, and a lot of good preachers done picked up on this and ran with it, not realizing that the fake preacher is the one that brought this out, because all he did was idolize. What am I looking for? The word I'm looking for. He singled out that verse, faith without works is dead. But that's not what that verse says. When you go back and read James, James is talking about, he's getting on them people that say, I'm going to pray for you. Like, you know, you go to somebody and you know this person got money. Two of their husbands done died. You know. Praise God. You know they got some money in the bank. Praise God. Hallelujah. He just retired. Hallelujah. He been working that same job for 46 years. You know this brother got money in the bank. Hallelujah. Amen. And you go there, amen, and you say, well, my light bill due. I don't know how I'm going to pay it. And they, in turn, what they do, they say, I'm going to pray for you. And they pray for you. And then they send you about your way. And James said, what good is you to say, I'm going to pray for you, and you send them about their way and don't provide what they need? What good is it to tell them to have faith when you could do the work? And then he says, faith without works is dead. I'm not lying to you. If you don't believe me, go read it for yourself. Go look at some of y'all looking it up right now. That ain't what that say. Oh, my God, that is. It do say. Yeah, that's what it say. It ain't talking to the person that's in need. That's the issue with that scripture. We teach it as if it's talking to the person who need a job. Faith without works is dead. No, you can get me a job. Faith without works is dead. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got the hookup. You got the connection. You can make a phone call. You telling me you need to get out there. You need to hit the pavement. When I was your age, we had to go door to door. It's a different age. We got to go online. They don't even want to see you in person. They don't want no. They don't fill out an application. Look, go to Praise God. We gotta go through something to get a job today. I remember them days. I'm not that young. I remember when I could just walk up to the door and say, hey man, I need a job, and they look at you and go, you look like a hard worker. Come on in here, we got you. Just fill this out. You're gonna keep getting paid this, you get paid this. I remember them days you just walk in and talk to the manager, get the job. You can't do that no more. You gotta go online. But you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. So you telling me faith without works is dead, but God is telling you faith without works is dead. He asking you to do the work. Go read the scripture for yourself. I'm not lying to you. That's what Paul said. Paul even said that about what he said. He said, a workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approval. Paul said basically, don't take my word for it. He was talking to Timothy. Don't take my word for it, Timothy. Go study for yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So that's what that's saying when it's saying faith without works is dead, amen. And we, you know, every week we try to expose the scripture. Remember they said they don't want nobody to have no money because money is evil. Money is evil. Money is evil. It's the, first of all, money ain't evil. You right, Elder, it ain't evil. Money is the root of all evil. No, money ain't the root of all evil. Wait a minute, Elder. Now, hold up. Now, it is written. I know what the words say. Okay, go look at the scripture. Go look at it. The word, it say it right here. It say the, it say the love of money is the root to all evil. Exactly. Money ain't evil. Money is only what whoever hands it in. If it's in my hands, it might be evil. It might not. It depends on where my mind is at the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. That determines whether or not the money is evil. The money is neutral. It's all about what you do with it. I can go take $10,000 and pay for my kids to go to college, or I could take that same $10,000 and put a hit out on one of y'all talking noise behind my back. I could do that. You know, that's what make it go evil. Praise God, money and the love of money. You know what I'm saying? I want to kill you because I want to collect your insurance policy, so I'm willing to spend $10,000 to get that $50. Amen. Praise God. That's like a 400% profit. Hallelujah. Amen. It all depends. Y'all must don't watch Oxygen. This kind of stuff goes on every day. Praise God. But we straighten out the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. But not just what you've been told. You know that when it's offering time, this is the last one I'm doing. I know. This is the last one I'm doing. And it's offering time. We say, give and it shall be given. Press down, shaken together and runneth over. Shall man give into your bosom. You go ahead and put something in that plate today and God going to have somebody else put something in your hand tomorrow. Praise, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I shut up, me see. Hallelujah. But when you go back and read the scripture, Jesus ain't talking about money. He talking about respect. He talking about judgment. He talking about mercy. He talking about grace. He say if you give mercy, you give grace, you give respect, you going to get it back in return. He wasn't talking about money, but we'll use it. We'll even use the excuse. You know these verses are, what we say, like it's almost like they can go anywhere. It can mean anything. I know what exactly Jesus was talking about this when he said it. I understand it. But it's universal. That's the word we use. The scriptures are universal. They apply to everything. That may be true. I'm not saying that ain't true. But I'm saying that's not what he was talking about when he said it. So don't get up and tell me give and it shall be given. It's the truth, but use the right scripture. Use the right scripture. Hallelujah. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Use you to rob me of my tithes and my offering. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Use the right ones. Hallelujah. Even when we say, Paul said, what did he say? God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Before that verse, what happened was some people gave him some money. They gave him some stuff. And he was thanking them for the stuff they had donated to him. And he said, thank you so much because you gave me this. God is going to supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's an offering scripture. Praise God, because you gave to the man of God, God is going to supply to you. Bless the wonderful name of the Lord. Okay, all right, I've been talking, and I'm going to do a little bit more talking. It's okay. We're going to get to the topics today. Hallelujah. Before we get to the topics, I ain't prayed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together in your name on today. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be present on the line in a mighty way, Lord. Hallelujah. Let your revelation knowledge fall free. And we are in position to receive it on today. We cast away and we bind and we rebuke and we command the enemy not to enter on the line on today. Hallelujah. We command them to stay away on today, Lord. Hallelujah. And we do it under the authority of your son in his name, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you in his name. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Praise God on today. Praise God on today. Once again, welcome to Extraordinary. I am the Black Prince of Preachers ever, Andre Prevost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get into the first topic. Amen. Praise God. The first topic is, are you a hypocrite? Praise God. And it's a question that I have to answer. Besides that question, amen. Somebody, amen. I've asked some of y'all, probably listeners. Our listeners have spiked in the last few weeks. Praise the Lord, amen. And some of y'all want to know the answer to the question. I've answered it a few times, but where did this name come from? The Black Prince. Why do you call yourself the Black Prince? Praise God, hallelujah, amen. I want to explain. I did not come up with the name. The Black Prince, praise God, hallelujah. It's actually called the Black Prince of Preachers. Where did that name come from? Amen. It came from, you might want to say he was my spiritual father. He just died last year, Bishop Andre Alexis. He gave me that name. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. And the only reason why I keep that name is to pay homage to him because he passed away. Praise God, last year. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not lying. Some people might be quit lying on dead people. Ain't nobody got time, hallelujah, to be lying. Praise God. And I got proof. Y'all know I got proof. Y'all know me. If anybody out there been listening to me or been close to me, y'all know me. Anything I say, I ain't going to say unless I got proof. Even though you might not, you still going to stick by what you say. I got proof. Check it out. This is my proof.
Well, I definitely want to say thank you, my dear friend. You know, I call you the Black Prince of Preachers, and I think it's a well befitting name for you. You know, you are a very articulate and demonstrative person when you preach this gospel, and you do it all from a point of royalty because that's who you are. You are a part of a royal priesthood, and I recognize your priesthood.
Amen. That's actually the beginning of a song me and him did called We Are Winning. So that's where the name came from. It's called the Prince of Preachers was the guy, Martin Luther, who Martin Luther King is named after. His name was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was the guy that started the Lutheran Church. He was the guy that branched off from the Catholic Church. He got a hold to the Bible one day, read it himself, and said, what y'all teaching us ain't right. So I'm going to branch off and do my own thing. I don't know. And when he called me that, and then I find out who he was, I'm like, he done passed away now, so I can't really get in depth with him. I'm like, what you trying to say? I done branched off and did my own thing. Come on, tell me something. Let me go find, I'm going to be like Saul and go find me a medium. Nah, I'm just playing with y'all. I'm playing. Praise God. Hallelujah. But let's get to the first topic today that somebody wanted their question answered. One of our loyal listeners. We got 2,000-some listeners, y'all. Praise God. So some of y'all wonder why I'm so keen about calling to a lot of y'all, I connect my line with y'all line. And I'm so keen about, you know, make sure that line don't get disconnected from this line. Because I got 2,000. I know you may have 20 people on your line listening, called in, that's fine. But I got like 2,000 on this side that I don't want to lose, that don't want to lose your attention. Praise God. That's why I be so keen about that. Amen. But let's get to the topic. The first topic is, what is a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? And part two of the first topic is, am I a hypocrite or are you a hypocrite and don't know it? Praise God. Is it possible to be a hypocrite and don't know it? We're not talking about religion. I wanted us to take our mind away from religion. Take our mind away from religion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every time somebody's being a hypocrite, it is not always got to do with religion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you a hypocrite is one who teaches and preaches one thing. but lives a different life than what they teach others to live. Praise God. Hallelujah. In other words, you say one thing, but you do another thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And a lot of people say, yeah, Elder, I know it's a lot of people in the church. Because I talk to a lot of people that don't really go to church that much. They believe in God. They consider themselves saved, although some of us might not. Praise God. But they believe in God, and they say, I don't go to church because it's a bunch of hypocrites in the church. I say it's a bunch of hypocrites out here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what is a hypocrite? Because a lot of us, we quick to call someone else a hypocrite. And the fact of the matter is, when you really do the studies and you really examine yourself and you really look around and observe social behavior, and you observe people, everybody is a hypocrite in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Oh, not me, Elder. Elder, you can take me out of that group. You better put 99%, 95%, 99.9%. I'm not a hypocrite in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you ain't never told nobody, or you ain't never told your children. Most of us got kids, not to lie. And how many lies have you told after you done whipped them for lying? You hypocrite. You hypocrite. How dare you? How dare you? How dare I go home and whip my child for lying to their mom, or lying to me, or lying to the teacher, when I'm lying to her mama? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. How dare you? You whipped your child. Think about it. Hallelujah. Think about it. You whipped that child. You beat that child. You was mad. Oh, you was mad. How dare you lie? I am your mother. I am your father. How dare you lie to me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you lied. Lord, have mercy. Then we wonder why the Lord beat us so much for our lies, why we get that whooping so hard. Hallelujah. Because you reap what you sow. You've been sowing lies, and then you got the nerve to beat somebody else because they lied. And in the Our Father's prayer, we say, forgive them the way we forgive. Forgive us the way we forgive our debtors. So the way you forgave is the way you going to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. See, people never think about the little small things that we do in life that's hypocritical. Hallelujah. Amen. You teach. Okay, you'll get on somebody. Watch this. In the state of Texas, unless the law changed within the last 5 years or so, having less than an ounce of weed on you is considered the same as a traffic ticket, as speeding. Having an ounce of weed on you is the same as speeding. But you can preach to somebody, you're not supposed to have that weed because it's against the law. Because, you know, people that smoke weed, we used to use the excuse, I know I did, even when I was out there, I would say, the Bible say, I've given you all things, even the green herb. I'd be like, hey, that weed came from the ground. Ain't nobody put no chemicals in it. Ain't nobody mixed it up on the stove, you know, with the water and baking soda. I don't really know. I don't know the recipe. But I'm just saying, ain't nobody do all that to the weed. It just grew up like that. And, you know, somebody decided to roll it up and smoke it, and they got high. You can't, that's not wrong. Okay, Elder, you right, that's not wrong, but it's against the law, and the Bible says you got to follow the laws of the land. You know what, you got me. That's the law of the land. Last blunt, it's out the door. I'm done with it. Hey, we need to slow down, though. The speed limit say 45, and you going 60. I don't understand how come it's okay for you to speed. Well, that's not the same. Why is not the same? Because what? It's a law of the land, ain't it? Praise God. The law say don't speed, but you're speeding. It's the same. Me and you will get the same ticket. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, ain't nobody going to jail. We getting the same ticket, so how come I can't use the same excuse? Well, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a ticket. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's against the law of the land. So that's hypocritical. Hallelujah. Praise God. To preach one thing and do another. That's why Jesus said, beware of the Pharisees. He said, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach. See, that's our problem. I'm getting ready to open the line because I want to hear people's opinion on this hypocrisy. Praise God, amen. That's our problem right there. I don't want to listen to you because you being hypocritical. Or you don't want to listen to me because I'm being hypocritical. But that ain't even the issue. Jesus said it ain't even about. See, Jesus always exited the other person out of the equation. It ain't about how you feel about me being a hypocrite. That's between me and God. But because I'm being a hypocrite, you just going to openly do what you do because I'm being hypocritical about what I do. He said, no, you still got to listen to him. And that's the hard part. I know. That is the hard. I still got to listen to Elder Prevost. Even though he out there speeding on the freeway, even though he out there doing this and doing that, and then he told me not to do it, I still got to listen to him. Yes, you do. I didn't say it. Praise God. God said it. Jesus said it. Hallelujah. Amen. It go both ways. I got to still listen to you, no matter how big of a hypocrite you is. Oh, we was on Minister Rayliner yesterday. He brought up Brian Carr. To me, he's one of the biggest hypocrites in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. But I didn't know he was a hypocrite at first. I was watching him on TBN, and he gave a word. The word was butter. I don't know if y'all understand what that means. It was good. It was nice. It was lovely. It was a good word. Then he started asking for money. And I'm like, this hypocrite want money. I can't believe this. Hallelujah. But he gave a good word. The word was on point. So I got to still listen to that word. But I ain't got to give him my money. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So a hypocrite is somebody who say, I'm gonna do one thing. Hallelujah. Or not even to say. It's not even to say I'm going to do one thing and do another. It's to tell you to do one thing when I'm doing the opposite of what I'm telling you to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes I'm a hypocrite with my wife. Because I got this thing about don't cut me off. I'm talking. Like, not like that. Some of y'all was like, oh, my God. No, not like that. I mean, like, I was talking and you cut me off. Like, now I don't want to talk no more. That kind of thing. Not like, oh, my God, you cut me off and now we finna throw you out the window. No, not like that. Y'all be over-exaggerating. But I'll be a hypocrite because she'll say something and I'll cut us move off for the same reason she cut me off the last time. You was wrong about what you were saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then sometimes, you know, you got to be like, yeah, you right. Yep. Yep. And you got to just hold that back because you realize you in the wrong. You being a hypocrite right now. Hallelujah. Telling your kids not to lie. Remember all them times your mama was a hypocrite? You know what I'm talking about when she tell you not to lie. But then when the phone rings, she tell you to tell. You answer the phone and tell whoever on the phone I'm not here. But you want me to lie for you? Ain't that one of the Ten Commandments, Mama? Don't it say not to bear false witness? And that's literally, it don't say don't lie. We be lying on the word. The word do not say thou shalt not lie. It says thou shalt not bear false witness. It's the same thing. But what you're doing is saying, you're bearing witness to something that didn't happen. So you want me to bear false witness for you, Mama. It's not that big of a deal because we just doing it in the house and on the phone. But if we was going to court, That's called perjury. You can go to jail for that. Praise God. So when you go to court, you got to decide if you going to lie for your mama. Was your mama home? If you lie and we find out your mama was home, you going to jail for 5 years with her. That's called accessory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then when we mess around and do something like that, I don't know where he learned that from. Where did he get that kind of behavior? Who taught you how to do that? You did. No, I didn't teach you to lie and say yes, you did. When you said you was in the room and you told me to tell the dude on the phone that you wasn't home, but you had the other dude. Oh, Lord. Now I'm in trouble because of you. And you don't want to accept the fact that you raised me this way. I'm not talking about me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm speaking for somebody out there. Amen. That you don't want to accept the fact you raised me like this. Or you raised your kid like that. Could it be? That's why the question is, am I a hypocrite? And I don't even know I'm a hypocrite. Hallelujah. Like I said before, I done whipped my child for lying and be lying. How you going to lie to your mama? How you going to lie to my mama? Oh, yeah. That's right. I sure did lie to your mama. But that's not the same. I'm grown. You a child. No. I'm a child, but you a hypocrite. That's what it is. Praise God. Well, the phone line is open. Praise God. I want to hear comments on the hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know people that have been hypocritical? Have you been hypocritical? Praise God. Hallelujah. The phone lines are open. Any comments today? Take your time. Take your time.
Well, I guess I'll be the first
you,
one.
Go ahead, sister.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll be the first one to jump into this. Yes, we know quite a few hypocrites in the church and out of the church. And one is when you get with one friend, you side with that friend, and you're against this, you're against that, and talk down to this and talk about this one. Crucify that one, lie on that one. And then when you get on the other side, and then all of a sudden you forgot about all of that you stood for over there yesterday. Today it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a whole different thing. That's a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe something, you need to believe it across the board. John Boy and agree with John Boy and pushing and edging John Boy on and letting John Boy agree to something that may be wrong. But then when you leave John Boy, then you go and do just the opposite. That's a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
And a liar.
That's what I'm calling.
And it can be very dangerous. It's because you are causing someone else to go astray. You leading somebody else astray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. She
Amen.
Said it. That's what I'm calling them, a liar and a sinner, just like every other sinner. And now, like I always do, I always like to look at my life, apply to my life, and I know I'm not perfect. I know it's things that I need deliverance from, and I'm striving towards that. You understand what I'm saying? Not trying to be basically what I call a sinner, because to me, like the sister really just said in the end there, they get up there saying, follow me, I'm doing right, and then they know and they doing the dirt, you know, under the table. You just a liar and a sinner to me. And if you're a preacher doing that, you're a false prophet. You know, that's the way I feel about them. And in some cases, they just might need deliverance. They might not know they're doing wrong. You know, like I found things, even through this, since we've been doing this, I found things that's been pointed out, whether y'all know it or not. And I said, wow, hey, that guy said don't do this. And I was doing that. Whoa, that's a big malfunction there. You know? So that's things that's helped me. But I look at it as sin, and especially if it's a minister doing something and he's saying, don't do this, and want to crucify or somebody else for doing the same sin that he's doing. Maybe it's a hypocrite. I think it's a liar and a sinner. I don't think they should be on the pulpit. Definitely need deliverance.
Right. We were on the line maybe 5 years ago, and a lady, her name was Mother Jane. She was married by this time and had kids and all that. But she was telling a story about she was dating a pastor, and her and the pastor just slept together Saturday night. And Sunday morning, she go to church to support her man. And he up there preaching about how sex before marriage is a sin. And she say that turned her off. Because we just got through laying up last night. And here you is preaching that sex before marriage is a sin. Well, was it a sin last night? Are we going to hell together? And she used to always say, I don't need no help going to hell. I can go to hell all by myself. Praise God. But yeah, that's a hypocrite right there. You doing something. And a lot of people have beliefs. I've met people that believe in spiritual marriage. They don't believe in paper marriage. They say it wasn't no paper until it was
right
in the book.
That's little.
They say it wasn't no paper until it was a divorce. Moses gave you a decree of the divorce, but they don't know. Like, you know, everybody got their little things that they believe. But if you believe it, but you don't want to preach it, that's one thing. But if you believe it and you preach the opposite because you know that's what the masses want to hear, that's something totally different. In other words, leave it. If that's something you believe and you know the masses don't believe it, if you tried to teach it, they don't believe it, leave it alone. That's how I feel about it. Like, what's his name? Pearson, Carlton Pearson. He felt like the Lord gave him a revelation. He tried to share it. They didn't want to take it. He tried to force it on them and lost everything he had because he tried to force it on them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, amen. And I'm not saying that he wrong or right. Some people might say he wrong. Some people might say he right. That's not for me to decide. I don't know what God told that man. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. Because we also believe, that's another side of hypocrisy. Because we also believe in revelation. We believe in revelation from God. Peter received revelation from God. Jesus said, who do y'all think I am? They said Elijah, Moses, all the prophets, and all these other names. And he said, well, who y'all think I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, nobody has told you this except the Father. In other words, you didn't learn this from reading the book. Praise God. You didn't learn this from somebody teaching it to you. I didn't tell it to you. So the only way you could have learned this is from God. That's divine revelation. We don't believe in that no more. We don't think people get divine revelation no more, but we preach about divine revelation. But if I come to you with a divine revelation, I'm a false prophet and all this other stuff and da-da-da-da. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just because you don't believe it, that's because you don't, I don't know what you want to call it. That don't mean it ain't true. They didn't believe Jesus. That's what I tell a lot of people. A lot of people say, I got this revelation, elder. I tried to give it. Nobody wants to listen to it. Nobody believes it. They didn't believe Jesus. Name one person in the Bible that they believed. Praise God. Joseph said, I had a dream, y'all. In this dream, y'all cows bowed to my cows. What? You trying to say eventually we're going to have to bow down to you? Even his daddy, and he was the dad's favorite. But even his daddy was like, I don't know about that, son. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus came. They didn't believe he was him. Saul got reborn. They didn't believe it. It took a while. When you really read it and do your research, it took a while for Peter and them to really just welcome Paul in. Paul was on their hit list for a minute. Avoid Paul. We might have to fight Paul. Praise God. You know Peter. Peter kept that sword. He was ready. We might have to fight Paul when we see him. It took a while for them to believe. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't expect them to believe you. I don't care if God came and sat in your living room and y'all had a whole conversation and you got it on tape. Hallelujah. Amen. That's some kind of special effects, Elder. You know you good with that computer. I don't know how you did that. It looked just like it could be a angel or something too. You can see through it and everything. That was good. That was good. You need to go into Hollywood with that kind of special effects. No, that's actually a tape. Never mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Any more comments on hypocrisy? Any more comments? Bless God. Any more comments? I want to make sure. I know some people be trying to take their phone off of mute, and by the time they get it off of mute, I'll be on the next subject. Amen. Any more comments? Hypocrisy. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's get to our next subject. Amen. Our next topic on today is, hallelujah, this is a topic, amen, is everyone picking on me? Or am I picking a fight with everyone? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This topic came up, amen, because it was a recent observation. But throughout my life, I've noticed certain things. Say I meet somebody, I start a conversation with them, and they'll tell me how people hate. Like, say I go to a job, and they tell me, oh, this person over here, they're a hater over there. Watch out for them. They be hating. They be lying, and they be trying to get you fired, and watch out for this boss. They mean, and they doing this, and they do that. And then you interact with the person they talking about, and you don't see what they talking about. You don't see what they talking about at all. The person nice. The boss is nice. You know, the boss is real courteous, ain't rude to you at all. And you really thinking, you know what? What's maybe this their first impression, you know? Because that person over there told me that this person right here is evil. They mean. They this. They that. Whatever the case may be. They talk about you behind your back. They gossip. They do this. And then you actually see that person interact with that person. Like the boss will go over to that person and tell them, hey, I need you to go sweep up aisle 5 for me. Look, doggone it, I just got through sweeping aisle 3. Well, ma'am, I just need you to sweep aisle 4 for me, please. Could you just take care of the aisle for me? Okay, fine, whatever. Then the boss walk away and they walk over to you. You see that girl? I told you. They just mean. And you sitting there like they just asked you to do your job. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. That's the type of thing we're talking about. People that say the world is picking on me. Hallelujah, amen. Celebrities got this bad, but it's not just a celebrity thing. We see it in celebrities because they celebrities. But people do this in the hood and in the suburbs and in the politics and in the move everywhere every day. People are seeking attention. This is my opinion. I want to hear yours later. But people are seeking attention. But saying that everybody's picking on them. Praise God. I know people have getting pulled over by the police. I've been in the car with them. And they swear the cop was racist and the cop was abusive and the cop was talking to them crazy. I was in the car with you. You was talking to him crazy. What you pull me over for? You pull me over because I'm black, huh? No, I pull you over because you ain't got no seatbelt on, sir. Whatever. If I was white and I didn't have a seatbelt on, you wouldn't pull me over. Yes, sir, I would have. The cop was so nice, he just kept writing his ticket. Told him have a good day. He got back in his car and drove off. He still cussed. This blankety blank cop blanket. But if you would have had your seatbelt on, we wouldn't have got stopped at all. And I probably got a warrant, and you over here getting us stopped. I don't appreciate you getting mad at the cop. He could have had us both out the car. And we already got in our minds cops crazy. The cops are trigger happy. Why are you pushing them to the to the limit then. Why are you talking crazy to him? He do have a gun. If we go in the hood and we run into a Blood or a Crip with a gun, we ain't going to talk crazy to him. And he can go to jail for shooting us. But you're going to talk crazy to the cop and then say the cops is picking on us. All the cops ain't picking on us. You know they actually, do stop people for doing stuff wrong. They actually do pull people over for driving too fast. Praise God. They actually give people tickets for they. He's going to stop me because my tail light was out. He's supposed to. Praise God. I've heard people say stupid stuff that the cops stopped them for. And yeah, we done seen people get killed behind this, but at the same time, that was them cops. I've been pulled over. Cops didn't even write me a ticket. White cops, but I've been pulled over by some black cops, and they was ready to take me to jail. The white cop had to tell him, "Nah, he good. Nah, we got to take him down. Nah, he good. It's just a traffic ticket." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
I've been there too.
Amen. Praise God. So we always say people picking on us. Hallelujah. Amen. But I wonder sometimes, I know for a fact I've seen people provoke other people and then say, "Did you see that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I saw it. Did you see what they did? I see what they did after what you did." Praise God. I seen you walk by and bump into them like it was an accident. It didn't really make it try to seem like it was an accident. We all know it wasn't an accident. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People post stuff on Facebook and then get mad at the comments. People picking on me. Well, why did you post that on Facebook? Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you see the comments? Yeah, I saw the comments. And see, and I think of things differently. I think of things like, you know, I think of things from a networking level a lot. So I'm looking like, I don't care what you posted or what you said. You watched it, didn't you? All right, that's another view in my book. I appreciate that. Praise God for you. That's how I feel about it. You over there, I can't believe what they said. They said I need to put the Bible down and throw it out the window. I don't know. Well, what you read there for? I don't got time for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. They picking on you, but you posted it. You wasn't expecting no attention. People, y'all got Facebook. Y'all seen the perverted stuff people place on Facebook. And then women be like, "Why is he in my inbox? Well, did you see what you posted on Facebook? All these men are crazy." All these men in my inbox, they nasty, they dirty. I seen your profile picture. If I was in the world, I would have been in your inbox too. What are you talking about? I know women that say I don't get what all these other women talk about. Ain't nobody in my inbox. My inbox is dry. Ain't nothing in there. I'm thirsty. It needs some water in my inbox. Ain't nothing in there. So why your inbox over flooded? It could be the cleavage picture. It could be the booty picture. It could be the twerking picture. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we go, men be strolling and we stroll. We see your cute picture. You going to church. Okay, we see the cute picture. You with your kids. We see you and your hubby. Then we see what we call TNA. Amen. But for the purpose of the show, we go say breast and booty all on the paper, all in the screen. And you think, why you think you got 1,000 likes? Praise God. It wasn't because, oh my God, is that contour she has on? Oh, I love contour. Press like on that. I love that. All right. Are those red bottoms? Praise the Lord. She got on red bottoms. Hit that like button. No, we like what's underneath them. Hallelujah, man. That's why your inbox is full. Ain't nobody, them men ain't harassing you. You harassing them. What they call it in the world, thirst traps. That's a thirst trap. And then we got Christians posting thirst traps. Hallelujah. Talking about, I'm just being a sexy Christian exploring my sexuality. But don't get mad when other men on Facebook want to explore your sexuality too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you put it out there. Amen. TDJ said this one time. He said, if you're not up for sale, why do you have your sign still up? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Good
and
point.
Really shocked. You really shocked. Now, notice this. Nicki Minaj, Paris Hilton, all them famous rich women that dress and pose provocatively ain't surprised at people in their inbox. It's not a shock to them. Because they expect that, because they know how they dress. They know this is going to happen. People have a problem with, they see that, and they want to mimic that, and then they shock people in their inbox. Hallelujah, praise God. Is everybody picking on me? No, you picking on everybody. You attracting yourself to the world and then shocked. Jesus wasn't shocked when everybody was on his case, because he knew this was going to happen. He ain't saying, why is everybody picking on me? Why the Pharisees keep trying to test me? Nah, because he knew it was going to happen. He expected this to happen. I put myself out there. This is going to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Especially, now let's talk about ministry. You think the other preachers ain't going to talk about you? You not like them. Of course they're going to talk about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they want you to be with them. Hey, man, you talk to people they don't talk to. You talk to sinners. Remember, why Jesus over there with the sinners? They ain't like Jesus being with the sinners. What makes you think they gonna like it's okay with for you? Praise God. They ain't everybody. You out there, and you got to accept the fact that this is gonna happen. The Bible says it like this: it's impossible to believe, but offenses will come. It's impossible to believe, but offenses will come. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm teaching the truth. The truth, why is it offending people? Jesus had to say this because he was talking to the disciples. When you read the scripture, it said, and Jesus said to the disciples. Why does he have to say it to the disciples? Because they're the closest ones to Jesus. And us being the closest ones to Jesus, walking with Jesus, if I'm close to you and I'm walking with you, and you're God, I shouldn't be offended by nothing. Everything should be great. And Jesus is like, no, it's actually the opposite. Offense is going to come regardless. Hallelujah. The trick to keeping the offenses low is not to offend back. Because the Bible says you reap what you sow. So when you get offended, say I slapped you. And you slapped me. Because you got offended because I slapped you. You think, you honestly think, because you slapped me back, that it's over with. No, guess what's going to happen? You finna get another slap. You might get a jab, a right hook, a left cross. You might get stomped because you hit me back. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the same thing spiritually. When something happens to you and somebody lie to you, so you lie to them. Oh, she going to lie to me? All right, I'm going to show her. Before I break up with her, I'm going to sleep with her best friend. What? And then your next relationship, why is she sleeping with your best friend? Because you slept with your ex's best friend and it just came back to you hit. Somebody hit you, you hit them back, and you got hit back again. Praise God. That's spiritually what goes on. When offenses come, hallelujah, amen, and that's what happens in relationships. If you notice in relationships, they be going back and forth, especially people that cheat on each other. I know people been together, I think that couple been together 12 years, but they keep going back and forth, because I think everybody done stopped, but the last part, I still owe you one. So I'm holding this one to the right opportunity. Then when I get it, I'm going to get mine. And then when you find that, now you owe me one. And just keep going back and forth, back and forth. Hallelujah, amen. Because you're going to keep reaping what you're sowing. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. When you put your, Jesus said, as being who we are, people are going to pick on you, if that's the way you want to put it. That's the way we used to say it in school. People bullying me, people picking on me. He don't like me. He be talking about me. Hallelujah. Guess what? People got bigger, but they did not change. Hallelujah. People got bigger. They got grown. They got driver's license. They got kids of their own. They got husbands and wives of their own. And they still running around talking about people. They still talking about people. They still, except when they get grown, we stop calling them bullies and we start calling them haters. Hallelujah. That's bleeding into our next topic. So before I do that, amen. Praise. Any comments on this topic? You ever knew anybody who fit this description? The world is against me. Everybody's picking on me. But you really attracting this. This is something that you've noticed about this person that they like this attention. This is not nothing they're trying to get away from. They like this attention. And either it's subconscious or it's conscious, but it's something they're doing on purpose. Praise God. Something we've done on purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. So any comments on that? Take y'all time. Y'all quit talking over each other. One at a time, please.
Pastor, you said it all.
Amen.
Only thing you said, because I missed part of what you said because my brother called and I thought it might be emergency, but he was just calling to check on me, which that's a surprise, but God changes things, you know. But you were talking about the people with the police issues, and I missed the front side of that. But, you know, we do have a problem in this country, and it is a lot of people doing stuff wrong, intimidating these cops and then wondering why they're getting shot. That is true. But at the same time, I see white people do far worse than the black people do, and they don't get shot. I ain't seen nobody black go out here and kill 8 people and get peacefully arrested. I ain't seen nobody black shoot 20 people and get peacefully arrested. I seen blacks do far less, and they dead. So we got the problem of blacks killing blacks, which if they really watched what was going on, they wouldn't do that. They would see that the white people setting them up, trying to make them kill each other, you know. And this is it's like embedded in our country, an attitude that's like under, how can I say, like underlying attitude, what do they call it? Like it's not in your face. It's a subliminal message. For them to not take nothing and kill each other, you know. But then at the same time, when we do go to the cops, we have people calling the cops for help, and the cops is coming and beating your brains in, locking you up and killing you. And black men are targets. We are a target from the attitude. They have an attitude of where even a black cop it's worse on you than a white cop. Like you explained, like this rapper made a song back in the day, and I ain't never been in a rap, so I obviously can't tell you who it was, but he talked about how the black cop was worse than the white cop. He was telling the truth. The black cop wanted money to get you, and the white cop might give you the break.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And you know, Not to get too deep off subject, but a lot of the cops, I believe, were the guys that were bullied. I want to say they were bullied in school, and they were bullied by other black guys. I'm talking about the black cops that treat the other black brothers so rough. It's like now I got the power, and I'm gonna show you who the boss is. Before you even, like, they that's why I say black people are more racist than white people. Because how you going to hate me because I look like the guy that used to pick on you in school? Praise God. And that's what that's what they do. Like I said, they wanted to take me to jail, and the white cop and the sergeant was like, no, he's good. He's good. They're like, no, but he has a warrant. He's like, it's just a traffic ticket, guys. Come on. He was like, come on, guys, really? So go ahead.
To be a police officer, you have to take a psychological, right? If you do not fit a certain profile, a certain attitude, certain mentality, you are not going to be on the police force. I'm telling you now. And that certain profile, that attitude is like a superior, like I'm better than the next guy. And then with a lot of black people that get up there, they say, oh, I'm better than them. I've had people, even let's go more recent in the trucking, I've met black people in positions of management that, you know, okay, their parents struggled, they got education, now they're in the leadership positions, and they do kick off an image, an attitude like, I think I'm better than you, just underprivileged, and I'm better, I'm going to show you the way, not realizing that somebody may not have had the same privileges as you to get to college, but they ain't dumb. Just because they don't have that degree, don't make them dumb. If you understand what I'm saying. But they have that attitude, like, I'm better, and you just this, you just that. They're focused on what they're seeing on TV and not reality. They're not looking at people as human beings. They're looking at, oh, I'm better than them. They're underprivileged. They gangster. They this and they that. You know, their attitude, mentality, what's being programmed on them subliminally. My pronunciation, you know what I'm saying.
Right, subliminally. Yeah, I got trouble with that. Them M's too close together right there. But yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And they fall into that category too, because they feel like, because they cops, everybody out to get them. And nobody likes me because I'm a cop, especially black people. Black people hate me because I'm a cop. So they automatically got that attitude. They picking a fight with us. They coming to us with a certain attitude. Like I told y'all other day, I got booked in and they having one attitude booking me in to one of the cops say, oh, no, he ain't one of them. He cool. And he's like, oh, okay, man, let me see your hand. I just need to fingerprint you right quick. So it's like you putting on an act because you think you want to intimidate me. And it's why are you doing that unless you think I automatically have a problem with you? Everybody, the cops pull over, we don't have a problem with y'all. I just want my ticket so I can go home about my business. I got to go. I'm on a time schedule. You ain't got nowhere to be. You at work. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get there. Amen. Praise God.
One more point I want to make real fast and send this. Look at what happened to the Indians. They had the soldiers, the white man, you know, I hate to say it like that, but he took the Indians and made them scouts, let them wear jackets and let them have guns, but said, no, your brother Indians can't have guns. You better praise them. And these Indians thought they were being accepted by the white man until once they defeated the Indian nation, Serrano and all of them. Then they said, okay, now give me them guns and give me that jacket. Now you stand over there, you just an Indian like them, and you're going to march on this death march down to the swamps of Florida where y'all going to live. You see what I'm saying? Because they think they're being accepted by them. They're not being accepted. They're just being accepted and praised until they finish with them. Same thing, look at Hitler. When they're persecuting the Jews, and remember, they were blacks first and gypsies. They took people, said, okay, you're going to control your people. And these people that the Nazis put in charge to keep the Jews in control, they would beat down their own people worse than the Nazis would, you know, because they scared for their life too. And then they was marching to the gas chambers just like everybody else. You're not going to be accepted by them. We have to stand up, and people have to start waking up and recognizing who the enemy is. Not all people are racist. Now, all white people are racist out to kill blacks. Many of them don't realize what they are, even though it's coming out now. End of story.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Do we have any more comments on this particular subject before we move on to the next one? Any more comments? Amen, amen. Bless God. Well, we're going to move on to subject number three. And subject number three, amen, it says, have you become the hater that you used to hate? In other words, you know, a lot of people, well, it don't really matter the age. It really don't. But what matters is at a certain point in your life, you felt like people were hating on you for whatever reason they want, whatever it could have been. And they were hating on you because they didn't know the situation that you were in. They don't know how you got there, whatever the case may be. Sometimes we find ourselves doing the same thing people used to do to us. We when I say hate, that word hater is an urban slang. When you get deep into the word hater, the hater is just somebody who judges somebody else. I knew somebody that used to just they car didn't have air, so they would hate. They would do it on purpose. I'm hating on everybody that got air. Oh, you think you better than me because you got air. I'm just as good as you is. I'm going to have my air one day. That person ain't really worried about don't even know you ain't even got no air. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just hating. Just some people hate to hate. You sit around. I used to do this, sit around in restaurants and talk about people. They look, that person over there look like, look at Chris Brown over there. Chris Brown over there at the drink machine. You know, look, there go Oprah. I saw Oprah over there. I'm finna go ask her, can I get a car, and you get a car, and we get a car. Like, just hating on people, just for no reason. And a lot of times we become the hater that we used to didn't like, judging people on stuff. I said it on the Friday morning thing. I used to be the type of guy that wasn't a cheater. I ain't going to say I wasn't a cheater because I did cheat sometimes. But I wasn't, what you call, like a dog. Like, it was a lot of women names and numbers in my phone. And I talked to a lot of them on a regular basis. But I wasn't sleeping with them. And to me, that was okay. That was okay. And if you saw me, and the thing was, a lot of them was my employees. I ran, at one time I had 3 KFCs, and I hired mostly women, not because I was a homemonger or nothing. I just like working better with women than with men. I'm gonna be honest, men, I hate working with men. Men are just slow. They talk too much. They gossip more than the women and got nerve to be talking about women. Boy, get to work. Get off your phone and get to work. I don't got to say that to the women. So I had mostly women. But I don't know these women like me. Understand, I was a big kid. Girls didn't like me growing up, and I kept that mentality into my adulthood. So I didn't think none of these women like me, and I guarantee you, I don't care who you are, if you have 10, 20, 30, 10 women at each restaurant, there's 30 women, one of them like you. I don't care what you look like. I wasn't thinking about this at the time, but one of them like you. Now, I wasn't looking at it like I was doing something wrong because I'm not sleeping with none of them. I don't care if they calling me in the middle of the night, my boyfriend did this, girl, it's going to be okay. I'm looking at it like, ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't doing nothing wrong. I'm not saying I wasn't doing nothing wrong, because in the end, how does my wife feel about this? My wife at the time, how she feel about me talking to these women? She trusted me, but she was still like, I don't know why they always calling you. They ain't even calling you by work. I'm like, well, baby, they want advice. I just gotta give them advice and tell them, yeah, they want some advice, all right. I'm like, girl, whatever. Them girls don't want nothing from me. But then I turn around and see a guy with talking to just as many women and assume he's sleeping with all of them. That go back to being a hypocrite right there. But then I'm becoming the hater that I hate. I used to hate when people saw coming there, ooh, Dre, you got all the women up in here, boy. Player, player, I see you. Nah, it ain't even like that, bro. All these good workers. I bet they is some good workers, bro. I see you. No. That's not even what's going on. Like, yeah, whatever. Then I see somebody else with two or three girls. Oh, boy, look at that player right there. He got them all. OG in the building. GQ. Here I am. I'm hating on a person that's doing the same thing I'm doing or used to do. I'm prejudging them. And that prejudgment is causing me to hate on them. Hating is when you, and then you get to talking about people and spreading rumors about people that ain't true. And people label you a hater, but in your mind, you telling the truth. Let me explain. There's two different kind of haters. It's haters that know they haters, and ignorant haters. You don't even know you're a hater. Somebody got to come tell you. You know you're a hater. I don't know why his album platinum. He can't even rap. Well, you quit hating on that man because he got money, and he sold and you didn't. That's why you hating, because he sold, you didn't, you think you better. Why he got more members than me? He can't preach. Quit hating. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why he got married for me? I could get a woman better than him. Quit hating. You probably passed your woman up. Because you got standards. You got a list. You got, praise God. Hallelujah. That, and you hating on the next person. Hallelujah. Amen. People, I've seen people, and I've actually seen this happen. People, what's his name? He told a joke. You know, you're in a Chrysler 300. You hating on the dude in the Bentley. Talking about my car look just like yours. No, it don't. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That man's driving a Bentley. You are driving a Chrysler 300. Stop hating. Talking about my car look just like his car. No, it don't. You have become the hater you used to talk about. Hallelujah. On whatever level it is. Praise God. You see somebody dressed a certain, remember you used to dress like that too. Hallelujah. And you see them dressed like that and you knew you wasn't no hoe because you. I know I ain't a hoe. I just dress like this. Okay, but she a hoe and she dressed, she got on more clothes than you. But you done judged her. Well, I don't even dress like that no more. It don't matter. You used to. And when you did, you hated when people hated on you. And that's the excuse you used too. That's what you said. You didn't say, they right, I'm showing too much cleavage, or they right, my thong shouldn't be showing. You said, girl, they hating on me because I can rock this outfit and they can't. Hallelujah. If you rock this outfit, your jelly roll will be hanging over your G-string. That's why you hating on me. Praise God. No, she hating on you, but she really hating on you because her man is with her and she don't want her man looking at you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you want to turn and call her a hoe. Amen. Praise God. But you used to dress like that. You turned into the hater that you used to hate. You used to hate when church folks used to judge you. They don't know me. They don't know my situation. They don't know what I'm going through. I heard she turned the trick other night, girl. They don't know my light bill was due back then. They don't know what I had to go through growing up. They don't know this. They don't know that. They don't know this. But then you get saved. That's why the Bible say to humble yourself. You get saved and you become like the dude, the Pharisees. Remember Jesus compared, it was a sinner and a Pharisee. And he said the tax collector who was the sinner, he walked up to the altar. Oh, my God, the tax collector was at the church. The sinner was at the church. And he gave an offering. And he told God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And then the Pharisees came, gave his offering, looked over and saw the tax collector, and said, God, I thank you, I'm not like that tax collector over there. And Jesus said, the Lord is going to have mercy on the tax collector, not on the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees has become a hater. I'm glad I ain't like you. But you used to be. You probably still is. Remember them Pharisees back then, just like they is today. Look on YouTube how many preachers See, it was Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees believed that it was a resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe it was a resurrection. But they both wanted money. They worked together because their primary goal was to get that money. Hallelujah. So if you're interfering with my money, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hate on you. So some of them were some on-purpose haters. Jesus clearly said, if you tear this temple down, I will resurrect it in 3 days. But for some reason, you thought I said, I'm going to tear this temple down. Never mind, I'm going to resurrect it in 3 days. That's the only part got out the story to the laws. He said he's going to tear down the temple. I didn't even say that. I said, if you tear down, even if you misunderstood that I'm not talking about this building behind me, I'm talking about my body. Even if you misunderstood that, I didn't say I was going to do it. I said you was going to do it. So that's why you're a hater. Hater alert, woo-woo, hater. Praise God, hallelujah. But sometimes we turn into them haters. Some of them preachers. Amen. Some of them preachers, some of them Pharisees, they didn't set out to be in a religious set. They didn't set out to fleece the sheep. Even today, there's a lot of preachers out there. They didn't set out to fleece the sheep. There's a lot of police officers out there. They didn't set out to be the kind of police officers they are. They set out to be one thing. A lot of people got into politics. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to start preaching the gospel. I'm going to get people saved. It ain't even about the money. Forget the money. I ain't worried about the money. I'm trying to get people saved. Hallelujah. I'm trying to clean up my neighborhood. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And then they get in it and begin to be influenced by what's already going on. And then they become that hater that they used to hate. They become that person that takes a bribe. Hallelujah. But I'm going to do it this time. But it's different for me. But remember, you the hater, you the become that. It's different for you because you know you gotta pay your kids' karate bill, and your daughter got cheerleading, and your wife always wants something. So it's different for you. I don't know why them other cops used to do it, but that ain't why I'm doing it. It's different for me. Hallelujah. Amen, and that's the mentality that's becoming the hater that you used to hate. Now I want to open up the line. Anybody out there, praise God, all the lines are open. Do you know someone, or have you ever did it and had to catch yourself? Look at her over there with all them girls. She got it. She must be a freak. But you, don't you hang out with nothing but God? Oh, that's different. Those are my big bucks. You know what I'm saying? We look out for each other. We a crew. They ain't trying to do nothing. I ain't trying to do nothing with them. Well, how you know that ain't going on over there? Well, I'm just saying. It, all them guys. But that's what's going on with you. I know. Me too. I've been there. Same thing with me. I did it too. It's okay. It's okay. Praise God. Amen. The line is open. Amen. We got a testimony. We got a witness statement. Hallelujah.
Elder Prevo, I ain't going to say too much because I don't want to get hiccups. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I understand that, what you said. You know, even as becoming a preacher, we look over there and see a group of girls, and we shake our head and go, mm-mm-mm. Man, why isn't girls dressed like that? But just like you said, before we came to preacher, we used to look over there and say, man, look at them girls. But just because we now preachers and we know right from wrong, we know ignorance that we once lied in, and you have to look at yourself. A lot of stuff that you were just saying, we have to look at ourselves and say, man, I was ignorant back then too. I used to think like that. And see, that's when you know that you come a long way in Christ, and you're in the ways of God, because when you can look at yourself and frown on the very things that you used to do, but you can't turn the things that you used to do into, you know, you're just so righteous now, you know, because you're not. We were all there. There nobody was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. There was nobody born righteous. We all had to come this way, and we were all ignorant. What we thought was, you know, not hating. You can become a hater later on, because you doing the same thing. You taking the same photo stance. You taking the same stance as big boy up the street, or, you know, Mr. So-and-so up the street. Mr. So-and-so up the street don't realize he used to be the same one too. And so we got to look at our own selves and realize that, give somebody else a chance, because Scripture says in book of Titus 3, I believe chapter 3 and verse 3, we were all malice, hateful, envious, hating one another. We were all of this until one day the grace of God came and changed us. And so we got to have mercy on those that come to church that's not dressed like you or smell like you, or you don't know this sister, this all she got. Look at her for coming to see the Lord instead of something else. If you're worried about what she got on, go buy her some clothes. We don't think like this, though. Well, child, it ain't my responsibility. Well, it ain't your responsibility to kill her in. So we just got to, that was a good analogy of what haterism is. And you could become a hater when you ain't even trying to be. And you could become a hater, like you said. They don't know why I'm doing this. They don't know why I got to do this. So what? Just because your excuse don't make it, just because you got an excuse for what you're doing, that justify what you're doing. Now, if you went to the store and stuck a steak in your pocket and they caught you outside, do you go back there and tell them, your kid's hungry? They don't care. They're not going to care that your kids is hungry. And so it doesn't matter what your excuse is. Remember, somebody else got the same excuse. You don't know what their reason is. You don't know why that girl on the street walking. You don't know. And there's some good women out there that don't know no other way. They haven't been taught nothing at home. They can't get no help from the church. And if they go to the pastor, he done proposition them. Just like that. Just like, what's that movie, Set It Off, when Jada Pickett had to go to the boy with the money? You see there? You don't know. So don't always judge a book by its cover. And remember, when somebody in a situation, just remember you was in that same situation too. You just don't realize it. Because my excuse of selling drugs, I wanted, you know, I'm tired of eating hamburger with my beans. I want some steak. You know? I'm tired of wearing Kmart red light special clothes. I want to go shop at Sears, and I want me a members only like the big boys at school. I hung out with them. Why I ain't got what them with? What they got? So how do I get that? Let me go turn a 20 into 40, and a 40 into 80 real quick. And then I'm gonna get me a members only. Now I got me a members only. All the boys up there, 12, 15 of them, we all got members onlys. Now I get the crack jokes and crack on people. You can't no longer talk about my my Kmart members only that wasn't a members only. You know, so don't always judge a book by its cover. Stop becoming a hater, because you can become a hater on the under anyway. Back over to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Ray, for those comments. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad he brought up that scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. That scripture say we all done did this stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. So we gotta look at them. Just like you looked at yourself at that time. Remember, some of us had I'm not ready right now. When I'm ready, I'll get it together. Some of them people ain't ready yet. You want them to get it together because you know tomorrow ain't promised. Hallelujah. But all you can do is tell somebody. After that, you can't judge them because you did the same. Ain't nobody on this line. Just go to church when somebody told you to. You need to get your life together. You was like, okay, let me turn one more, and then I'm one more. Praise God. Some of them did 20, 25 more. Hallelujah. Amen. But we still did that one more. We didn't go right there and there. I remember I was at work, and I know for a fact I was surrounded by whores and homemongers and drug addicts. I know this for a fact. And this woman came to the counter, was waiting on her food, and I go take her food, and she going to tell me I need to go to church. And I looked around, and I'm like, out of all these people in this room, you going to tell me I'm the one need to go to church? No, all these people need to go to church. Praise God. But I'm judging them. Hallelujah. Now I'm being a hater. That's almost like the law's coming. You need to go to jail. I need to go to jail. No, they need to go to jail over there. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But this just go to show you, amen, God point out who he want to point out, pick out who he want to pick out. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can't be a hater. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he picked you out. You want to go hate on somebody? No, Lord, what about him? Ain't that what Adam did to Eve? Was she the one? If you wouldn't have gave her to me, this would have never happened. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say that's the first time man became a hater. And when you really read it, he not hating on Eve. He hating on God. He said, this woman that you gave me, he told God, this is your fault. Everything was all good. You the one thought it wasn't good that I should be alone. I didn't ask for this woman. Now, this woman that came along and messed everything up, this is all your fault. Praise God. Hating number one. Hallelujah. Instant hating. Praise God. Any more comments? I'm becoming the hater that you used to hate. Any more comments? Amen. Amen. Bless God. I give a long pause because I know some people be waiting for people to talk, and then some people be taking their phone off of mute. Amen. But when if y'all just moving slow and I get to talking, just cut me off real quick before we get deep into it. And like, as soon as I say, okay, the next topic, hurry up and start talking, and I know you can go ahead. Praise God. Okay, we're getting to number four. This is the last topic of today, and then we're going to be out of here. Amen. And this topic says, what is the opposite of the Holy Ghost? The opposite of the Holy Ghost. Now, I ask this question because with every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, if it's good, there's evil. If there's light, there's dark. So if there's a Holy Ghost, if there's a God and a devil, if there's a Holy Ghost, is there an unholy ghost? Praise God, the opposite of the Holy Ghost. Because we know what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost, amen, and we're not talking about the gifts. You cannot judge. Me and Pastor Lex was talking about this a couple of years ago. You can't judge somebody's Holy Ghost. I know the Bible says we judge, they judge by the evidence of speaking in tongues. But devils speak in tongues too. Praise God. Keep in mind, tongues is the heavenly language. That's what they call it, the heavenly language. Where you think the demons came from? The devils came from? They came from heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. They fell from heaven. The Bible says Satan fell from heaven like a lightning bolt. He was Lucifer. It was Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. They were the three archangels. They were second only to God. They set up under God. And Lucifer was the one that was in charge of the praise. But he started wanting to keep the praise for himself, got into a fight, tried to take over heaven, and got kicked out. Now they down here. They are still down here. Praise God. Amen. They ain't been cast out into the lake of fire and all that yet. Remember when Jesus came across Legion and Legion started talking, the demons inside the man started talking and they said, why are you here? Are you here to cast us out to the lake? It ain't time. Please don't do it yet. Let us stay in the region. And Jesus allowed them to stay in the region. So they are still here. So when you ask, what's the opposite of the Holy Ghost? Anything that makes you do the opposite of the Word of God. Praise God. It's not like, I know it's some particular spirits out there. We got the Beelzebub spirit. We have the Jezebel spirit. We have the Pharaoh spirit. We have the pilots. We have all these spirits are still in the earth. When we that'd be the issue that real spiritual believers have with what you call it when you kill somebody the death penalty because the death penalty that spiritual person that goes to the Senate or the council whoever makes the law the legislative and say we shouldn't have the death penalty that spiritual person that's out there not everybody out there. Because it's a group of them, but it's a spiritual person in the group. The spiritual person is coming from the aspect of you're going to kill that man and set that spirit free. That whatever caused that man to be a serial killer is a spirit. That spirit is inside of him. You think by killing the man, you're solving the problem. But by killing the man, you're setting loose that spirit. And all that spirit is going to do is go inhabit someone else. That's why we have what they call copycat crimes. You know, a crime happened in 1922. Somebody killed 15 women and killed them a certain way. And then all of a sudden somebody pop up in 2021 and they start killing people in the same exact pattern. And they like, well, they must have read a book or saw a movie. No, that's that same spirit. If you look back, you might see that this spirit was somewhere in Australia in the 80s and then somewhere in Canada in the 60s. This spirit is not dead. You killed the man, but you didn't kill the spirit. So the opposite of the Holy Ghost. It's in Galatians. My bad, I should have had it turned to Galatians. I meant to have it turned to Galatians, especially because Galatians is so small and so hard to find in this big old Bible I got right here. But in the book of Galatians, it tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are, the Holy Spirit, and it tells us what the works of the flesh are. And when we read what the fruits of the Spirit are, but he talks about the fruits of the works of the flesh first. But I like looking at the fruits of the Spirit first because when you see the fruits of the Spirit, you see how I should be acting. You know what I'm saying? You see how I should be acting. Like, okay, it say, but the verse 22, chapter 5 of the book of Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. those are the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, another word for fruit is produce. Produce. This is what I should be producing. I should be producing love, joy, peace, long suffering. If you one of them people, like my grandmother. When she died, her last husband died on her, but she had been married like 3-4 times and had a couple of live-in boyfriends in between that. She didn't have no long suffering. She couldn't put up with nothing for a while. If you got on her nerves, she cut you loose. She said they used to call her Lulu Hips. I'm Lulu Hips. I don't need you. You getting on my nerves. I'm going to cut you loose and go find me somebody else. Hallelujah. Amen. Because she ain't had the Holy Ghost. She ain't get the Holy Ghost until she was, what, 50-something? Hallelujah. Then she stayed with her last husband till the day he died. Praise God. But every other man she cut loose. Why? She didn't have the Holy Spirit. She ain't had no long suffering. Hallelujah. She wasn't suffering a long time. That means you be able to put up with somebody's stuff. Y'all might say BS for a long time. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how you know you got the Holy Ghost. So if I don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm cutting you loose. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or sometimes, watch this, and I've said this before, and some people, it's hard for them to grasp this concept, that you have the Holy Ghost, but you're not using all of it. You know, like you got a car, and you know you got automatic windows. You ain't necessarily got to hold the button down. You can just press it one time, and the window going to go down by itself, but you like to hold the button down. It's a feature that comes in the car, but you choose not to use it. I said plenty of times I would be at work, and I would choose not to use certain features of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about since I done got back saved. Hallelujah. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. I would cut that off. A customer, especially because I felt like I was Mr. Customer Service. Hallelujah. I felt like I was Mr. Customer Service. I felt like I was the nicest, most customer-friendly person in the world. So how dare you tell me I got bad customer service? You want to see some bad customer service? Let me cut this meekness off real quick. Click. Let me tell you something, lady. If you don't want to be here, you ain't got to be here. You can go to, we got chicken shacks all around here. One across the street, one down the road. Hit them up if you want to. Nah, I'm done. Let me cut my meekness back off. Click. I'm sorry about that, ma'am. You want a refund? Nah, you can't do it like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. We do it all the time. We walk up in church. Oh, praise God. I'm so blessed to be here this month. Is she in my seat? No, she ain't in my seat. Let me cut this joy, this meekness, and this goodness out. Excuse me, little mama. I don't know. I've been going to this church 15 years. I am Mother So-and-so. This is my spot. Oh, I'm sorry. I know you're sorry, but you need to apologize. Ooh. And then they speak to you later on, and they just as sweet. You have a blessed day. Because they cut it off and on. It ain't about speaking in tongues. Okay, you spoke in tongues. You don't even know what you said. So I don't even, that's not, you ain't, you're not impressing me. Praise God, hallelujah. You're impressing me with the way you act. You mean to tell me you let that person cuss you out and you ain't say nothing? You turned your meekness all the way up. Then you know we got meekness levels, 1 to 10. We got levels to all this. We got levels. You should have it on high all the time, all the way turned up. That's a worldly song. All the way turned up, your Holy Ghost need to be all the way turned up. It can't be on medium. I'm sorry, praise God. It can't be on medium. Hallelujah. Medium will get you killed. Medium will get you in trouble, because if medium is, you'll tell them off a little bit. It's on medium. Hey, if you ever say something to my kid again, I'm going to throw a brick to you with me. Have a blessed day. Nah, you need to cut, you need to cut your Holy Ghost up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at the works. The works of the flesh. So if we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, then the opposite of the Holy Ghost, praise God, in my eyes reading this, would be having to do with the flesh. A spirit that inhabits your flesh. Praise God. Remember, Jesus said, you cast a demon out of a person, then that person gets themselves cleaned up, but the spirit goes to a dry place. And then when it gets tired of being in a dry place, it say, I'm going to go back home. That the spirit calls you their home. That's one thing you got to look at that scripture. That spirit considers you their property. Hallelujah. They just on vacation right now, and they plan on coming back. And they come, and the Bible say when the spirit comes back, it brings seven more evil spirits than it. Now, you was already, you know what you was already doing. Praise God. But it comes back because it says you're empty. Why was Jesus talking about this? It was talking about this because it says you have to be filled. That's where you get filled with the Holy Ghost from, because the Spirit left, that Spirit left and left you empty. Now you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So when that Spirit come back with seven of his friends, the Holy Ghost has occupied your house, you. And it's a soul sign on the lawn, and the spirits that were coming back were like, oh, my goodness, somebody bought this house. I knew, oh, man, we was gone too long. Hallelujah. Because if you don't get the Holy Ghost, guess what's going to happen? The flesh. Here you go. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lackadaisicalness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. We didn't invent that word. I know we thought we invented the word hater. No, it's in the Bible. Hatred, variance, illuminations, wrath, strife, heresies, enviness, murders, drunkenness, revelness, and such like. He says, so it's this stuff and stuff like this. This stuff and stuff like this. Being drunk. Killing people. Murder. Oh, well, Elder, okay, I'm not in that category. I don't drink, Elder. I'm good. I ain't killed nobody. I'm good. But what about wrath and strife is in there, too? You mad at somebody at your job? You know how you mad at somebody at your job? When you pray for that person and you say, you know what, I'm going to pray for them. But you don't pray for them, you pray for yourself. Elder, what is you talking about? You know that prayer you do. Oh, you know what, I'm going to pray today. I'm going to pray for her. Lord, please don't let this woman say nothing to me crazy today, Lord. Let her stay in her zone and I'm going to stay in mine in Jesus' name. You didn't pray for her. You said don't let us say nothing to you. You praying for yourself. You praying that you don't go off. You praying that you don't flip. That's what you praying for. Hallelujah. Amen, because you got some wrath and some strife. So you ain't got no long-suffering, no joy, no gentleness. Gentleness. You ain't gentle with it. You know you can tell somebody off in a gentle way. Praise God. You can turn somebody down in a gentle way. I'm sorry, sir. You're just not my type. Maybe, you know, at another time, at another place, we could have got together. But I'm just not. Nah, I'm sorry. Nah, you like, you know what? You need to get up out of my face. You are just not. I ain't nobody feeling you. Where you going anyway with them shoes? No. Mm-mm. You need to get your game together before you come step to, you know. These are church people doing this, talking this way and doing this kind of stuff. These ain't worldly people. You find out later, these people go to church? You lying. Every Sunday? In the choir? Your husband a deacon? What? Nah, you lying. Because ain't nothing you seen about them. You got the Holy Ghost. Well, I lot of my Sanda. You want me to buy you a Honda? What? I don't understand. Nah, something ain't right. Is that the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you really prophesying or are you prophesying? Hallelujah. Praise God. Is that the Holy Ghost? Why are you hollering at me? Stop hollering at me. Praise God. Where's the gentleness? Hallelujah. Did you just beat your kids? I mean, you just beat them. I've been there, praise God. We talk about being a hypocrite. We've been there. You done beat your kid before. Don't act like you ain't never hit. Come on now. I ain't going to play with y'all. Praise God. Hallelujah. You done beat the heck out that kid. Hallelujah. There wasn't no Holy Ghost in there. Well, say you spelled a rod. Spelled a rod. You gave him the rod, the kitchen sink, the broomstick, and the baseball bat. That wasn't the rod. Hallelujah. That was the opposite. I don't think that was the Holy Ghost. That's just my opinion. Praise God. But like I said, I want to hear y'all. What do y'all think the opposite? I mean, we know what the words say, and we supposed to go by what's written. Hallelujah. Amen. But what y'all, have y'all seen something that y'all thought was the opposite? I know that ain't the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And have you seen the Holy Ghost in people that you don't expect to see the Holy Ghost in? People that you consider a sinner. Hallelujah. You see people being meek, people giving, people loving, people having joy, people having long suffering. And you be like, do they even go to church? I don't even know if they go to church or not. But they show all the displays that you're supposed to be showing. That's when it become a problem. It's a problem now because that person, I know she go to the club. I know she drinking like the party. But she's showing more fruits of the Spirit than I am. It's something wrong with that picture when people of the world can teach you a lesson and you in church. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Saved and sanctified. That's what we used to say in the Church of God in Christ. We saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you ain't acting like it. Because if I sit in your spot, you going to snatch me up. You going to go to the usher. Oh, my. You going to get the ushers? I'm sorry. Praise God. Amen. The opposite of the Holy Ghost. Anybody got any comments on that? The opposite of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Opposite of the Holy Ghost. The line is open. Anybody got any comments on that? Make sure all the lines, yeah. All y'all unmuted. Y'all unmuted.
Well, Pastor, is the opposite of the Holy Ghost be demon possession?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's another way to say it, demon possession. Yep. Because people have the spirit. I heard a preacher preaching about the spirit of... the spirit of Pharaoh, the controlling spirit, people that want to control you. And you go back enough in the research, you'll find, yeah, they were Hebrews, Abraham them, and Pharaoh and them were Egyptians. They were from Egypt. But if you go far enough, you find out these people got the same blood. Like, it's not like black, white, like you can tell a difference in the race or something like that. All you know is that they from over here and we from over there, but we, look how close they land was to each other. They ain't have to go far, like, real, real far like that. So it's like you could trying to control your own people and say I'm not one of your people and you trying to control me when we all the same people. I feel like that goes on. Like, I always say that's what's going on today. We got black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and all these different races. But when we read our Bibles, it started with two people, Adam and Eve. And then we learn through migration, that the race, that's how we got all these different races, because you went up there to where it was snowing and there wasn't no sun. So over years, hundreds or thousands of years, you got white. And I went down there to where it was nothing but sun and wasn't no snow at all, and I got black earth. And then we meet back up, and we trying to say we different, but we really the same. And we being separated by something that's stupid, because we really the same. It's like you having two kids, and one of them go stay with the mom, and the other one go stay with the daddy. Then when they come to family reunions, they say, you're not my brother, you're not my sister, because I'm from Idaho and you from Nebraska. Y'all got the same mom and daddy. We got the same mama and daddy. Us and the white man and the Asian man and the Mexican man, we all got the same mama and daddy. Adam and Eve, the same too. When women get mad about having their menstrual cycles, every woman in the world gets mad at Eve. Every woman, not just the black woman, not just the white woman. I wish that black girl wouldn't hate that. No, everybody, every woman is mad at Eve. Every man get up and preach Eve shouldn't eat the apple. Black, white, Mexican, Caucasian, don't matter. Everybody mad at Adam. If we all mad at the same two people, how are we all different? Praise God. We all the same, but that's how they keep us divided. We all God's children. Think about it. Abraham had two sons. Them other people, them other Ishmael's kids, they still Abraham's kids. Hallelujah. They still Hebrews. No, they ain't Hebrews. Yes, they are. If my daddy is a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew by blood. Automatically. Ishmael's daddy was a Hebrew, the first Hebrew. So everybody up under him is a Hebrew. Just because you don't claim them. You know, we got some family members we don't want to claim. That's still your brother. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's how they keep us divided, with that the spirit of division. God, the devil is the one that brings that spirit of division, because if I keep y'all divided, if I keep the black man fighting the white man and the Asian man fighting the black man and the Mexican man fighting all the men, if I keep this going, then God won't be seen. Won't no unity come. See, the devil's scared if we all come together, we gonna find God. Not that we just gonna get along with each other and it's gonna be peace and ain't gonna be no more racism. He's scared we gonna get together and find out we all God's children. If we forget the government scared, they gonna find out we all God's children. If we find this out, What kind of more control can you have? What can you tell God's son? What can you tell God's daughter? Like right now, I can't tell Biden's son anything. I can't tell that man nothing. Why? Because he's the son's president. He's the president's son. Because of his daddy's authority. He is like one of them people that's untouchable right now, because he's under his daddy's authority. They can try. I know they're trying to come up with something. He did something and this and that over there. That ain't going nowhere. His daddy is the president. Trump. They still talking about, we going to get him. We going to impeach him. Y'all still talking about that? Y'all ain't got him yet. Why? Because he's the president. Come on, think. He's the president. Okay, God. If I'm a son of God, I don't got to worry about you. I ain't got to worry about a hater. I ain't got to worry about nothing, because I'm God's son. Praise God. And when everybody figures that out, wait, I'm God's son? Yeah, you too. Me too. You God's daughter. I am. We all. Yeah, we all are. There's no more division. Oh, when there's no more division, the kingdom of the devil cannot stand. Hallelujah. The kingdom of the devil on this earth can't stand. The kingdom they got right now that's keeping us divided, that's the plot of the devil working through man. You really think, because you think that girl at your job is the devil. let me tell you, the devil used to be, like I said, second in command, right under God. You think he gonna come to earth and find a human to inhabit and inhabit that girl at your job? Oh, okay. The devil feel like answering phones now. Like, that's his thing. He gonna answer phones and hate on you. That ain't the devil at your job, girl. Yo, the devil is somewhere in some high important place. That's where he like to be. When you look back, you might find in the book of Ezekiel, the devil was the prince of Tyre. And in the book of Ezekiel, God was calling him by name, called him Lucifer, and told him, "You, I made you. I put the instruments in you. I adored you with jewels, diamonds, rubies, and gold. You were the most beautiful thing I ever created till you fell." So he was the prince of Tyre then, meaning one day he would be the king of Tyre. He don't want to work at Kroger's. He ain't even the manager there. He not the corporate manager. He's somewhere where he's actually in charge of running something. They even say that after Jesus, 200 years or 100 years after Jesus, the guy who was in Rome, I can't think of his name, but they say they think he was Satan for a little while. They're not sure. You know, praise God, because, you know, the Bible, they closed the Bible up, so they stopped putting stuff the prophets was writing in it. So we just got to go with what's in here. So I ain't going to get into that. But, amen, praise God. All I'm saying is, hallelujah, you know, that's going back to being hate. Now you calling this woman the devil. That woman ain't the devil. She's just going through some things. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. And that's that opposite of the Holy Ghost. Anything that goes against the will of God, the snake, the serpent in the garden, he brought. I'm not saying they had the Holy Ghost or nothing like that, but understand what I'm saying. What he brought went against the will and the word of God. Anything that goes against the will and the word of God is the opposite of the Holy Spirit. Ain't nothing holy about that. Ain't nothing God-like about that. That spirit that you get where you get to the, you can just talk to all the women and pull them and get all their numbers, that's nothing holy about that. That's an adulterous spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I said it, I used to say this before, ministers, male ministers, we recognize these spirits, these Jezebel spirits and these whorish spirits that women have. Because we recognized them when we was in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I used to ask the male preachers, where's our repentance when it comes to that? Because I've seen a lot of male preachers recognize that spirit and do the exact same thing they did when they was in the world. And they will sleep with it. And it's crazy to me because it seems like you should have the knowledge that this person is under some kind of demonic control. That's when you meet, you know, you ever met a girl in her early 20s and then you meet her again, she like 35 or 40 and she totally different and we black, you know, people change. No, she was released of whatever demonic control was over her. When you met her, she was a freak because she was under demonic control. Hallelujah. Amen. But when now she's released from that control, I said it before on the line, and I remember me and Bishop Page and Bishop Alexis was laughing about it. When we meet a woman, we recognize whatever demons she has. She has an anger demon. She has a insecure demon. And she got this anger, insecurity, and she has a sexual demon. And you doing everything you can to cast away this anger. Praise God. You trying to cast away the anger. You trying to cast away the self-esteem, the low self-esteem. Demons, they got to go. I can't deal with these two demons. Them two demons getting on my nerves. But that sexual demon, she can stay. I kind of like that demon. That's the whole reason why we together, because of that demon. That demon can't go nowhere. I like that demon. Now, you don't realize that demon is the one that's bringing the other two demons. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you don't want that demon to go, because that demon do everything you want that demon to do. And you using your control, because we know we got power over the spirits. The spirits got to do what we tell them to do. But you using that authority, you using that authority the wrong way. Hallelujah. And then I think, well, maybe some people, some ministers are ignorant. They don't know. Maybe they don't know that woman has a spirit. Because, you know, when we was in the world, we didn't hear no word about spirits. Spirit? No, she just, no, ain't no spirit. She just a hoe. I'm going to tell you, she a hoe. That ain't no spirit. She a hoe. No, she wasn't. That was a spirit. We were wrong. They wrong about us. Oh, he a dog. He a man whore. No, he ain't. That's a spirit. Nah, that ain't no spirit. I'm telling you. No, you wrong too. Praise God. It's a spirit. Why else would you do that? Why would you come home and get mad because ain't no toilet paper and just go off? Just go off because ain't no toilet paper? Go get some toilet paper. And it ain't like it's toilet paper in the house. I've seen people get mad, and there's toilet paper in the house. Ain't like you got to go to the store. Refill the roll. Uncle, calm down. Jesus, here you go. Here's a roll of toilet paper. Calm yourself down. You need to go get on the house. That's what when I was younger, that's what I used to think when people be tripping. I'd be like, they need to go get on the house. Because that was the solution for everything. We've gotten away from that. Oh, we don't even acknowledge it no more. Ain't no more getting on the altar. Don't put no oil on my, if you put that oil on my head, Elder, you're going to mess up my foundation. Okay. I guess you want to keep your foundation and your demons. No problem, ma'am. You go right ahead and do what you do. Do you. Do you. Praise God. We don't do it no more. We don't go up to the altar. We don't get no demons off of us no more. We go take a pill. We read a book. Go get some counseling. Praise God. We need to get on that altar and cast these demons out. Quit living with the demons. We living with demons taking medicine. Medication to help control a demon. That's a demon. You know how I know it's a demon? Because the same thing is used, what they call ADHD and all this other, they done gave it names and stuff now. Bipolarism and all this other stuff. These people, I used to see people go through the same stuff and they go to the altar. They lay hands on them, then they fall out on the ground, they shake a little bit, then they be passed out like they dead, and then they wake up and they would be different. They would be changed. This is how I know that the devil is working through the government. The government starting giving you checks to have these demons. Yeah. Do you know that psych check, that check we get on the 1st and the 15th because they say you slow or something wrong with you? That's the enemy somewhere in the government came up with this so you would get this check so you won't go get healed. I always tell this joke. It was a man, three men was on a boat, a black man, a white man, and a Mexican man. They was out there fishing. And the Mexican man look up and say, "Oh my God, look! I think I see Jesus walking on the water." And they look and they see a man walking, just walking on the water. And he walk up to the boat and they like, "Oh my goodness!" And he's like, "I'm back. I have turned. I'm Jesus. I'm here. What's the deal?" And they like, "Nah, I don't believe it. You ain't no Jesus." And he looked at the white man and he say, "I am Jesus. I prove it to you. What's wrong with you?" "Oh, well, you know, I fell and hurt my back at work, and I ain't been able to stand up straight since." He came, he touched the man, and the man stood up straight, and he's like, "Oh, I don't feel no more pain. It's all gone. You are Jesus." He looked at the Mexican man. The Mexican said, "Oh, Holmes, I got to tell you, my head, I have a headache. It won't go away 3 years, migraine." Medicine won't work. He said, no problem. Snapped his finger, headache went away. He was like, oh, praise the Jesus, Jesus has returned. And he looked at the black man, and the black man said, whoa, don't touch me. Don't you put a hand on me. And he said, why? He said, I'm on 100% disability. I don't need nothing healed. I'm good. I need my money. Praise God. That's what a lot of us are doing. That's what's going on. I don't want to be healed. If I get healed, that's going to mess with my money. Half of us faking the injury anyway. Lord, have mercy. Praise God. Praise God. So we don't want to be here. We want these spirits. These spirits help us in some way, shape, form, or fashion. All we need is one, and that's the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't realize that this other spirit has come into their life. I was talking to a young lady like 5 years ago, and this young lady was on our prayer line, and she was saying how she had become promiscuous. And the Lord gave me a revelation to tell her that it was a time when this happened. You were on a date, and you were date raped. And when you were date raped, a spirit came to you. And that spirit came to you and said, the next time you with a man, you going to initiate the sex. He's no longer going to be able to take anything from you because now you have the power. What that spirit did was come to her, lie to her, and manipulate her into thinking, if I have sex with them first, they won't be able to take anything from me. I have the power. I'm the one in control. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what happened. And that's what happens to a lot of women. I've discovered women going through this since they 7 years old. Since I was seven, I developed early, and old men been trying to talk to me. I'm 9 years old. Old, grown men trying to talk to me. I'm like, as a man, you know, wasn't nobody trying to talk to us at no 7, 8, 9 years old. We can't imagine old grown people hitting on us at that kind of age, grown women trying to sleep with you, and you 7 years old. You don't know what's going on. Imagine this is stuff women go through and keep going through. Because every time you see one, you want to chase her. Every guy that's seen her today wanted to chase her. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a lot of pressure for a woman to go through with every man in the world after you. That's how they feel. Every man in the world is after me, girl. They all want to have sex with me. Praise God. And that spirit comes and say, you know what? You can take this power back. You ain't gotta, amen, praise God, give up your power to these men. You can take your power back. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that spirit come and they let that spirit take over. And once that spirit take over, it took over and they going to do what that spirit tells them to do. That spirit is their best friend. And they don't want to let that spirit go. Same thing happened with the man. Hallelujah. I call it the Samson spirit. Remember, Samson had Delilah and Delilah kept asking him questions and he finally told her the truth. And as soon as he told her the truth, she switched up on him. A lot of us got that spirit. You know, we've been hurt. Once a man get hurt, all of y'all hoes and sluts and bees, all of y'all, because we hurt now. We don't trust nobody. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we get that Samson spirit. I ain't telling another woman the truth. I'm going to lie to her just for no reason. Just... Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I don't trust her. She probably lying to me. Amen. Hallelujah. But you all know she going through the same thing. Y'all both fighting with some kind of spirit. The Jezebel spirit. A lot of people, let me explain this spirit. We getting ready to get out of here, but somebody, I got to answer this question because somebody had asked me before. What is the Jezebel spirit? The Jezebel spirit is the spirit that says you can do, and a lot of people take it the wrong way. You can do what a man can do. You can be in a man's position, a man's place. And a lot of people say she tried to have a place of authority. That's not what her thing was. That's not what Jezebel's thing was. Jezebel didn't need to have a place of authority. She was authority. You got to research people. She was authority. She was a princess. She was a princess with so much power. That's why Ahab married her. Ahab married her because she had power. She had influence. So it wasn't about having power. It was about etiquette. Me and my wife were just talking about etiquette. Etiquette is basically behavior, how you act in public, how a man is supposed to act, how a woman is supposed to act, how a man is supposed to dress, how a woman is supposed to dress. Those were her issues. That's why I always get on people because people get on me because I wear earrings. They'll shoot a slug about the earrings. Women did not wear earrings. Earrings is not a woman thing. It became a woman thing because of Jezebel. Before Jezebel put her influence over Israel and Judea, women were just like they are right now over there, covered up. All you could see was their face. So what they got earrings, what they needed earrings for. The men watched, I'm finna blow y'all mind, and it probably won't, and it don't matter. Anyway, but... men wore wigs. Men wore makeup. Men wore the jewelry. And she said, I want to wear jewelry too. I want to wear makeup too. I want to wear wigs. Look at your dollar bill. You see George Washington? That's a wig on his head.
Wig.
Yeah, George Washington, all the presidents, they wore wigs. The men wore wigs. If you were in power, you wore a wig. Even today, over there in Britain, they'll still wear wigs. White wigs that are curled up. And they wear these wigs. They take it off when they're not doing whatever they judicial duties. But that was a part of their authoritative uniform. So Jezebel said, "I want to put a wig on too. You got a wig on? I don't want to stay covered up like you got all these other women covered up. And since I am the queen now." I should be able to do what I want to do. And I feel like every other woman in here should do the same. Okay, so somebody say, well, what you saying, Elder? What is the Jezebel spirit? The Jezebel spirit is that spirit that came in your church within, I say, in the 80s, early 90s. And they were saying, you know, back then, the women didn't wear makeup in church. They wore hats. Your hair wasn't really, you're supposed to be covered. And some woman came in your church and started saying, we need to do this differently. We need to do that differently. We need to do this differently. That was the Jezebel spirit coming into your church. And now, it's not that I'm agreeing with women shouldn't do this and women shouldn't do that and this, this, this. I feel like we all should have some kind of limitations on the way it should be a dress code in church. Not that women shouldn't wear pants, but they shouldn't wear no skirts that just barely hang below their behind. They can't bend over and pick, if they drop the tied envelope, they can't bend over and pick it up. Because every deacon going to lean back, woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. So that spirit comes in and say, we should be able to do what they doing. Hallelujah. The men of authority wore earrings and they know. Y'all ever seen a woman with an earring that goes from her nose to her ear? That's what the men in authority wore. I'm not sure what their position wore, but that when you saw that, that lets you know he's a man of authority. He got a position. See that earring going from his nose to his ear with that chain? He's somebody. You can't mess with him. So she was like, you know what? I want to get an earring in my ear, too, and let it run from my ear to my nose. I want to wear a wig. I want to wear. But the difference is when she put on her makeup, she made her makeup make her look sexy. The men had on makeup, too. Moses, Pharaoh. When Moses left Egypt and was not when he went in, you know, went to the promised land, but first he got kicked out when he was 40 for killing the Egyptian. When he went to the land he went to, they knew who he was because of the way he dressed. Moses had an earring in his ear that went from his ear to his nose. He wore the makeup that the Pharaoh wore. That's how they knew you are an Egyptian, ain't you? Because you dress like them, you look like them. And Jezebel said, I want to look like y'all too. I want to dress like y'all too. And then, that wasn't the real issue. The issue that God had, that was the issue man had. When you read the Bible, this is the issue man had, that woman trying to be like us. The issue God had was the sexual side that she brought to the equation. Jezebel was that type of woman that didn't wait for you to come talk to her. She gonna let it be known she like you, and if she wants you, she gonna have you. And she's gonna use her authority to get you just like man do. You know how when you in that, you know how David did. David saw Bathsheba. Who is that? Oh, that's old girl. You know, she married the old boy. Well, bring her over here. Why? Because I got that kind of power. I don't care that she married. You better tell her, get her behind over here. Because I got that kind of power. Jezebel said, I got that kind of power. I don't care that you married, bro. I don't care at all. Me and you finna get in. That, she was so sexual like that Ahab had her, you know, everybody got Secret Service. Her Secret Service was the ones that were castrated. What's the name? I can't think of their name, but they're castrated. In other words, they ain't got no genitals. So that's how sexual she was. Ahab didn't want the bodyguard, wanted to make sure that her bodyguards were men so they could protect her, but wanted to make sure they didn't have any testicles so they wouldn't have any sex with her. Hallelujah. So that Jezebel, when that girl had told you, girl, if you like him, you better go after him, girl. You better go get him. You better put it on him, girl. Y'all ain't married or nothing. That's that Jezebel spirit. That spirit just say, the women that be out there saying, y'all been doing it. Y'all been doing, men been doing it for years. Jezebel spirit. Somebody ring the alarm. Get your woman away from her. Fast. Hurry up. I ain't playing. Hurry up and snatch her away from that woman. Lay hands on the woman. Get the spirit out that woman. Do something. Hallelujah. Because once that Jezebel spirit hits, she going to be walking around. Oh, boy, I'm trying to take. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. These are all different spirits that are opposite the spirit of the Holy Ghost. So any spirit that goes against the Holy Spirit is the opposite of the Holy Ghost. That's just the bottom line. Praise God. Ain't no way of getting around it. Ain't no way of saying, well, da 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 da. Oh, I got what you may. Maybe you got your fruits on medium. You need to cut your fruits up. The meaning you could do it, but you decide not to. In the moment, you make a decision in that moment. That's why the Bible says, with every temptation, there comes a way of escape. In other words, with everything you go to, it's a way to get out of it. If you got to make that decision to get out of it. You didn't have to sleep with that woman. You could have got up and left, but you stayed just a little bit long. I'm just going to wait for the commercial to go off. Go ahead and wait for the commercial to go off. You go ahead and wait. When she come out the bath, I've been there. When she come out the bathroom, you should have left before you should have left. That's all I'm saying. I should have left. Praise God. There was a way of escape, but I didn't take it because I wanted to see what was going to happen when she came out that bathroom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we have any more comments on any of the topics that we discussed today? Hypocrite. the whole world's against you, becoming a hater, opposite of the Holy Ghost. Any more comments on today?
Yeah, Pastor. On the issue about everybody's after me. It was a time I felt like the whole world's against me, you know, coming from where I was abused growing up. It still affects me. But what I'm noticing is people doing drugs, people not trying to serve the Lord, people rebelling against the Lord, and things ain't going right for them. And I'm seeing a lot of things where it says, where they're saying, oh, this one's against me. Oh, they did conspiring against me, et cetera, et cetera. Some of it, I believe, is drug related. Some of it, I believe, is demonic spirits. The whole issue is something that needs prayer and coming against the forces of evil, because the forces of evil are so deep and deeply rooted in our society, if you understand what I'm saying. And, you know, I know I have a hard time really truly explaining myself, and I thank you because you really have insight to what I be trying to say.
Amen. I agree. I'm glad you pointed that out. That all goes back to those spirits. Everybody's against me. That's a spirit also. Because the enemy has you thinking everybody's against you, you'll miss out on the people that's for you, and then you miss out on your blessings. Because everybody against
you.
So I won't bound nobody. So you exiting that, like, it's just like that parable. You done pulled up the wheat and the tare. That's why they say don't pull up the tare, because you're going to mess up the wheat. And that's what that spirit does. That, I guess you could call that a spirit of isolation. I isolate myself from the rest of the world, because the rest is just me against. Tupac had a song back in the day, Me Against the World. And then what happened? It was him against the world. Praise God. We got to be, and at the same time, we got to be careful the type of things we speak into our lives. Praise God. Sometimes we might just feel, oh, man, the whole world is against me. You might just feel that way, but when we say it, we are putting something in the atmosphere. I know that's what the Buddhists say, but that's also in the Word of God. Amen. You put not that energy, but in the Word of God, it say the power of death and life is in the tongue, and you will eat the fruit thereof. Whatever you say is going to come back, and you're going to have to eat your words, in other words. So you say the whole world's against you. Tupac put that out there, and the word, this is why I say the word works. The principles of the word works regardless of whether you on the right or wrong. That's how people misuse the word of God, because it's going to work. If you sow, you going to reap. It's going to work, but how are you using it? And the word of God say, write the vision down, make it plain, so people will run with it. And he wrote a vision down, Me Against the World, and it just went all across the world, and that's what happened. I look at a lot of people. They make these songs and they put them out, and then it happens. It ain't happened. Excuse me. It ain't happened until they said it was gonna happen. It works both ways. A lot of these rappers, like everybody talking about the Biggie song, when the first came out, it was all a dream. He lied on that song. He ain't had nothing on that song. He wasn't on the cover of no magazines. Everything he said in that song was a lie. But then, you might say everything in the song was a prophecy. Why? Because everything in the song came true, because he put it out there. So we got to be careful what we put out there, even singers, preachers, speakers, just ordinary people, ordinary. You just ordinary. You got to watch what you say, because your words are extraordinary. Don't wish death. I remember this. I'm going to say this. This happened to me. Real true story. Me and my ex-wife get into this argument. I had just bought this car. This car is like a week old, maybe 2 weeks old. I had just bought this car. It was a used car, but I just bought it. So to me, it's new. Praise God. I just bought this car. Me and my ex-wife, we get into this argument, huge argument. She get mad, grab my keys. She ain't even got no license. Grab my keys and storm out, slam the door, and take my car and go on. And when she slammed the door, I cussed. I said, I hope that B blow up. Those were the words I said. I was emotional when I said it, and when I said it, I felt something. And as soon as I said it, I said, oh, Lord, I take it back. I wasn't even going to church at this time. But I'm like, oh, Lord, I take that back. But then she pulled back up. She walked in the house. I'm like, okay, the car didn't blow up. 5 minutes later, my friend downstairs knocked on the door and tell me my car is on fire. The solenoid done caught on fire. Something caught on fire. And the whole engine done blew up in flames. I said that. I hope it blow up. And that's what happened. That's how powerful. Some people, Elder, that's a coincidence. Okay. Let me tell you something. Coincidence is a word the devil made up. I'm going to have a segment one time on words the devil made up. Accident. That wasn't no accident. Praise God. Coincidence. That wasn't a coincidence. If everything was written, it's not a coincidence. It was already written. I mean, it was already going to happen. Praise God.
Man, I've been playing double dutch, try to get when I see I'm gonna be able to jump in.
Oh, go ahead. My bad. Usually don't
know. Nah, go ahead. I just wanted to say, you know, the Holy Ghost and another ghost. You got the Holy Ghost and you got the Bishop Ghost. Most people got the Bishop Ghost. Because like you said, Holy Ghost don't make you do these things. And the Holy Ghost has its list. And the Bishop Ghost got its list. So we got to figure out, being honest with yourself, which list are you on? And I know we ain't perfect, and we all need to go down the list and check which one applies to you. And be honest, because whatever it is, God can deliver you. And that's the Holy Ghost delivery, not staying where you are. And that's my definition of the Holy Ghost and the Bishop Ghost.
Hey, man, you said the Bishop Ghost?
Yeah, they got the Bishop Ghost.
Okay, all right.
You know, a lot of folks got the Bishop. They only act like they got the Holy Ghost when they see the Bishop. You only speak in tongue when you see the Bishop. The Bishop tell you one, two. The Bishop tell you on the count of three, speak in tongue. That's the only time you do it.
You say, oh, man, you had me say the Bishop goes. Every time you see the Bishop. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's most people, you know, they come. You were saying earlier, they come looking like, you know, you my people, and acting as if you look my people. But actuality, you leave right out that church and go back and do same things that you would do it all week. Cussing, sleeping with sister so-and-so, sleeping with brother so-and-so. Do it doing all the things that you shouldn't be doing. But on Sunday, you shout. And that's because the bishop around. So people got to stop playing with God, because God ain't to be playing with. And stop pretending to play at church. Because church is not designed for you to be playing with. And the word is not a play game. And so, make a decision. That's it. Back to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Ray. Amen. The bishop ghost. He had me for a minute. I was going to look it up. Did he say? When you see the bishop, you speak in tongues. When you see the bishop, we was talking about that. Me and my wife were talking about something earlier about etiquette. And they got this thing about etiquette when you go to the church. It's a certain way you're supposed to talk. And I remember the first church me and my wife went to was like a Methodist kind of church, Disciples of Christ. And this girl got up there. She was a teenager. She's doing the welcome. And she's trying to act like they want her to act. I guess they've gotten on her about, you don't act like that. You're supposed to act like this. So she's talking a certain way. And it's funny to us because we can tell it's a put on. We want to welcome Miss Anderson. What's her? Miss Anderson. That's her name. Miss Anderson. And we know she don't talk like that. Praise God. You know how when you walk into, hi, welcome to, blessed. I'm so... You know, we love you. No, you don't. You don't love me. You don't know me. I've been going here 2 weeks. Praise God. It was love at first sight, I guess. I guess I walked through the door and you looked back and was like, oh, wow, I love them. Praise God. You don't love me, you lying. That's a etiquette. That's how you feel like you're supposed to act in church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we see them acting that. We saw them acting that way in church. And then they was in the parking lot. They in the parking lot rolling up the blood in the church parking lot. They didn't even wait till they got home.
Yep.
Praise God.
You ain't lying.
Amen. In the parking lot. Hallelujah. They cussing in the parking lot. And you know, like Sister Valencia say, you know when somebody cuss when something happened, like you burn yourself or you drop something and you cuss and you say, oh, excuse me. That ain't an accident. That means you cuss. You cuss on a regular basis at home, and it just slipped out because of that accident. And that's why I say that's a lie from the devil. That wasn't an accident. God just exposed you. He exposed you. Ain't no such thing as accident. That's a lie from the devil. What else? Another word, bad.
Mm-hmm.
The word bad, that's a lie from the devil. Because the Bible doesn't say good and bad. The Bible says good and evil. But the word bad sounds a lot better than evil. So that's a trick to make you, oh, I ain't been bad. I've been bad. I've been bad. Because that sounds good, don't it? I've been bad. That don't sound real. Oh, you just been bad? It's okay, Elder. You just been bad. But if I get on the line and say, hey, y'all, I've been evil. You've been evil? What you been doing, Elder, to be evil? I lied. Oh, boy, we thought you were saying something serious. You just been bad. No, I've been evil. That's what the words say. The words say a lie is evil. Sin is evil. It's not bad. It's evil. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's all the topics we got for today. Do we got any more comments or any prayer requests before we get out of here tonight? Of course, we're going to pray for these spirits. Oh, excuse me, y'all. We're going to pray for these spirits today. Praise God. Amen. We as well as the people around us be delivered from them. Sister Valencia gave a message on the line about a movie, and in this movie, the vampires come in to kill you, but basically, you have to welcome them into your home. you got to tell them to come in or else they're going to stand at the door. And once they tell you to come in, they're going to take over. That's the same thing. You know, saying that's the same thing with these spirits. You can lead it. The spirits ain't got to come in your house. Praise God. We have authority over the spirits. When Jesus sent out the 70, not the 12, the 70. The 70 came back and said, even the spirits obey us when we use your name. So the 70 ain't the ones that's closest. That's why you got to understand why certain things are in the Bible the way they are. It's emphasized that he sent the 70 out to let you know that it wasn't the ones that was closest to him. It wasn't the clergy. It wasn't the preachers. It was the 70 following them. It was the congregation that was able to cast out demons. It was the congregation that was able to command the demons, and the demons had to obey them. Not the preachers. It was the 70, not the 12. To let you know that you have the same authority I have. I got the same authority Paige got. Paige got the same authority Jake's got. Jake's got the same authority Jesus had. Oh, you see, that's when I got the same. He said, greater works will you do than I have done. I've given you the power to do these things. You don't have to live with that demon in your house, whether it come in with you, come in with your kid, come in with your spouse. That demon, look, you can have that demon all day at school if you choose to. But as for me in my house, you better leave him outside on the porch. And I mean that. And if they don't want to listen to you, that demon has to listen to you. Oh, you crazy. I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm finna go to my room. The demon, soon as they walk, the demon's standing right there and walking right out the door. Well, I guess I got to go outside. I can't go in your room with you. He just told me I can't go. He has the authority. I don't. Hallelujah. You don't see it happening, but it's happening. We have to exercise it. We have to believe it. That is our problem. We don't believe it. You don't believe that person got a demon. You think that person's just evil. Hallelujah. You don't believe in demonic spirits. We say we do. But are we being hypocrites when we say that? Hallelujah. Because if we believed it, we could be like Jesus could have got off that boat, and when Legion ran up to him with 5,000 demons, 5,000. He said, we are legion because we are many. He could have said, this man crazy. This man just ran up to me, worshiping me, talking about he legion. No, he recognized this is demons talking. This man ain't even a man talking. That tell me that a lot of times I get into it with people and I'm not even arguing with that person. I'm arguing with some demon inside that person. That person don't even... I remember one time, I'm going to tell y'all, listen, I remember one time I was talking with my ex-wife. I wasn't talking with her. I'm lying. I was in the bathroom eavesdropping on her conversation. And in her conversation, she said something very specific about me that hurt my feelings. So the next time, a little bit later, I confronted her. It might have been a couple of days later. I confronted her about it, and she said, I ain't never said nothing like that in my life. I would never say nothing like that in my life. Why would I say something like that? She was adamant about it, very serious. And she gets on the phone and calls the person she was talking to and asks the person, did I say this? And the person on the other end said, yeah, you said that. She was like, I did? Yes, you did. I don't remember saying that. And then I'm standing there, I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm still, you know, I ain't saved yet. So I'm like, this woman crazy. That's the problem. She crazy. I got a crazy woman. Oh, my God. Spirits wasn't even coming into my mental. Hallelujah. It wasn't occurring to me that the spirit was talking. And the spirit knew I was eavesdropping because the spirit can see through the wall. We don't think like that. Well, that's for the movies. That's Hollywood, Elder. That don't really happen. Yes, it does. Where do you think they get these movies from? Hallelujah. Praise God. We say God ain't talking no more. God got prophets. Remember when Isaiah said, I'm the only prophet left. And we say the last prophet was Jesus, and some people say, you know, when Paul died, that was it. Wasn't no more. He told Isaiah, I got 5,000 more just like you. 5,000 more. Now, he looking around, don't see none. But he said, I got 5,000 more just like you. We want to believe that because the Bible has been closed. In other words, it has an end. It's a book. And we want to look at it like it's a book. The book is over. The story is over. Ain't no more prophets. Ain't no more authors writing this book. This book has never stopped being written. Why do you think T.D. Jakes got books? Creflo got books? All these people got books. But, Elder, I don't know if they are real prophets or not. We don't know if all the people that's in the Bible is real prophets or not. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know what they wrote. Amen. And we believe them to be followers of God and believe God gave them this revelation. They wrote this revelation down and put it in a book. Later on, somebody took this book and put it in a bigger book. That's all the Bible is a collection of different books. This isn't all written by one person. Yeah, God wrote it. But what I'm saying is it's different authors. I wrote this. You wrote that. You wrote this. She wrote that. And then all of a sudden they put it together and said, well, we're going to put all this together and make one big book. But what about the people that were still writing? You think Paul was the last person to write? Hallelujah. No, they kept writing. But the book was already closed. We ain't finna add no more to this book, and we ain't finna do a part two. Hallelujah. Amen. God ain't stopped making prophets. He ain't stopped making teachers. He ain't stopped making preachers. He ain't stopped. He's still giving divine revelation to this day. A lot of people don't believe in Muhammad. Muhammad, the one that he said he was in a cave and Gabriel came to him and gave him revelation. Who am I to say he didn't? Praise God. Hallelujah. Those that choose to believe, go that way. I believe in Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like we judge other people. We don't know. Watch this. I'm going to say the truest thing I feel like I've ever said in my life. Don't nobody know the truth until we get there. We won't know the truth. We say the streets are paved with gold. You won't know till you get there. You hear a word of mouth. You ever had somebody tell you, hey, when you go to this place, man, it's so cool, man. They got this and they got that. And you get there, you're going to have fun, man. This place is cool. They got the best food. Then you get there and it's nothing like they described it. Sometimes it's better. Sometimes it's worse. Ain't none of us been to heaven and back to say, hey, it really is streets of gold up there, y'all. Ain't none of us been to heaven to say who going to get in and who not. Jesus never said who was going to get into heaven. He said, you in danger. He said, you were in danger of the fires of hell. You know, that's how we do people. We tell them, you going to hell. No, you're not. We need to correct what we're saying. You in danger. If you keep going the way you're going. We tell people, that's how kids end up in jail, because you tell them, you're going to grow up and be just like your daddy and go to jail. No, they're not. They are in danger of growing up to be like their daddy and go to jail. It's not written they're going to go to jail. Now, what you just did, you just spoke something. You just put it in the atmosphere, and it's going to come back around. Hallelujah. Amen. Any more comments before we go to the throne of grace? Any more comments on that? Amen. Bless God. Amen. I'll be trying to make sure. Ain't nobody was trying to come off mute. Amen. Well, we've had a blessed time in the Lord on today. Well, of course, we're going to go to the throne of grace, and we're going to pray about these spirits. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And this is what we're going to pray today. Let's go to the throne. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your revelation knowledge on today, Lord. We thank you for your wisdom on today, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you give us the courage to use the authority that you have given us over these spirits, over these demonic forces in the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for giving us authority over them, for us having more power over them, for them having no power over us. Lord, help us to exercise that power. Hallelujah. Help us to let them demons know you are now welcome in our house. You are now welcome in our presence. Hallelujah. And we thank you right now, Lord, that tomorrow, when we get off the line, we are going to walk in that authority. Hallelujah. We are going to command those demons, and they will obey in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it right now. Lord, thank you, Lord, for delivering, hallelujah, our family members. Thank you, Lord, for delivering our friends. Hallelujah, our loved ones. We love you for it, Lord, and we appreciate you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us this authority. You didn't have to do it, but you did. We thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins. You didn't have to do it, Lord, but you did. And we praise your name. We magnify your name. We want you to know we love you. We want you to know we appreciate you for everything that you do. We know, Lord, that your word is true. All things are working together for the good of those that love God and are called according to your purpose. And we will continue to praise your name and magnify your name, Lord, because we love you. Hallelujah. And we pray these things in your son Jesus' name. And as we leave the line, but never from your presence, we simply pray that your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every last one of us till we all come back together again. On behalf of First Lady and myself, we love each and every last one of y'all. Amen. Check us out Tuesday, 1 o'clock p.m., 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Eastern. Amen. We will be debuting Valencia Scott's new talk show. Amen. Praise God. Inner Beauty. Inner Beauty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Those of you that know Sister Valencia, we invite you to come on the line and support her. Amen. And that's her premiere of her own show by herself. I'm not hosting her. Amen. I might give a testimony or something like that, or she might have me speak or something like that. But other than that, it's her show. She going to do it the way she want to do it. Hey, man, it's going to be about 30 to 45 minutes. She ain't even going to be as king long-winded as I am. Hallelujah. Sometimes I don't be nowhere near the mic. And she's like, okay, I'm done. I'm like, wow, you done right there? Well, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we invite you Tuesday. Come be with us. Amen. And Sister Valencia debuts her new show. Praise God. And, of course, amen, on Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock my time, 3 o'clock Pacific, and at 6 o'clock Eastern time, we have the Salt of the Earth with Sister Alexandra and Kendra Cole. Praise God. Those of you that are connected with us, y'all got those flyers. We invite you, amen, to come and support their ministry as well. Praise God. We got a few more ministries popping up. Sister Raquel, amen, will be with us this week. She was with us last week. Hallelujah. We got, of course, Bishop Page will be on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock delivering the word from God. Today was Bishop Page's birthday, y'all. Hallelujah. He's 69 years young. So if y'all see him, y'all got his number. If y'all in the text group, text him. Let him know happy birthday. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he'll be on 11 o'clock next Sunday, my time. Amen. And then, of course, back again, 5 o'clock Central Time. Amen. We coming with extraordinary because we doing extraordinary things in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, Saturday. I forgot our Saturday show, 2 o'clock p.m. Amen. Get out of my business. What you saying, Elder? Get out of my business. Get out of my business if you ain't going to come to me about it. Praise God. The Bible says it like this. If you got a problem with your brother, rebuke him, then forgive him. Hallelujah. Praise God. But if you got a problem with me, don't go to Daryl and tell Brother Daryl you got a problem with me. Don't call Sister Alexandra and tell Sister Alexandra. Don't even call my wife and tell my wife you got a problem with me. Come to me if you got a problem with me. If you don't come to me, then stay out of my business. Praise God. And if anybody has a dispute or you feel that way, you got something you want to get off your chest and you want to rebuke your brother, amen, this is the time to do it and the place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, man, this is the Bible command. We preach forgiveness. Forgive, forgive, forgive. But you can rebuke before you forgive. Hallelujah. We ain't never straightened it out. I just forgave you for it. I ain't telling you nothing about it. I ain't confronted you. That's what I hear women say a lot. You know, it's lingering. It's in the air. You're letting it linger. Hallelujah. Ain't no closure. That's the word. Ain't no closure. I'm going to forgive you for something. Half the time, I got to confront you because you don't even know that you've offended me. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I don't know you, I offended you, how you going to be? What you mad for? What is you mad for? He offended me because he wore purple today. I didn't know purple offended you. I'm sorry. Like, I won't wear purple next Sunday, but I won't know that if you don't tell me. Praise God. And then in some cases, so what if I wore purple? Get over it. Get over yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we thank God. We invite y'all to tune in. That's every Saturday. And, of course, we still got the random thoughts. Random thoughts pops up randomly. That's why it's called Random Thoughts. Y'all got to look out for that show. That just pop up whenever the Spirit say pop up. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we got a lot of shows coming up this week. We thank God for everybody. Amen. Minister Ray got a talk show this Saturday morning at 11 o'clock my time, I believe. Kyle, what you think about it or what you got to say about it? How you feel about it? I think that's what it, how you feel about it. So, yeah, y'all need to check that out. I checked it out yesterday. It was pretty cool, pretty cool. Y'all check it out. And we also got it on Blog Talk. I tuned in like in the middle, but you can go back on Blog Talk and listen to it. Praise God. But we thank God for each and every last one of you on today. I've had a blessed time in the Lord. We will be back next week with four new topics to discuss. Or we might do it like we did it 3 weeks ago. Three topics and a quick mini sermon, a quick breakdown of a scripture. If you want a scripture broke down, hit me up. Hallelujah. If you think I can break it down and you feel like I can break it down for you, hit me up and I'll do the best I can. Hallelujah. With, you know, in Jesus' name to break that down for you. Praise God. I feel like that's one of the callings God gave me to look at a scripture and see something you ain't see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all didn't see Jesus wanted that wine at the wedding. He wanted that wine. Go back and read it. Him and the disciples, they wanted the wine. Praise God. Hallelujah at that wedding. Amen. There's a bunch of scriptures we need to break down and see what was going. See, you got to understand, wine is the life of the party. It wasn't no life in the party. He wanted wine. He trying to say your life ain't got no life in it. And you call it with no life. It looked like it got life. You got the music. You got the people, you got the food, you got the lights, but ain't no wine. Y'all know when y'all was in the world, and some of y'all today, when y'all go to a party, y'all don't want to go to no party. Ain't no wine at that party. Ain't no beer at that party. Ain't no champagne. Ain't no MD. Ain't no kind of alcohol at all. This is what? A dead party. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what? Jesus had to revive that party. Hallelujah. And put some wine back in it. Amen. That's how God gave me that scripture to break down. And if you want one broke down, text me. Put it in my inbox or something, and we'll put it on here. Amen. We put whatever. If you got a topic or a question you want answered, inbox me. We'll put the question on there. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll answer it. If I can't answer it, we got so many. Somebody know the answer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But we thank God for each and every person that's called in and tuned in today. We've had a blessed time in the Lord. Amen. And we will see y'all next week, same time, same number, same channel, same host. Praise God. Hallelujah. We being extraordinary. But right now, we gonna leave y'all with some Donnie McClurkin. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because, you know, when we fall down, we get right back up. Praise God. Y'all have a blessed day. Y'all know it's hard. And don't forget. Don't forget to say your prayers. We fall down. But we get up tomorrow. Y'all have a blessed night. Go with God. We're going to see y'all next time on Extraordinary. Y'all have a blessed one.
For a saint is just a sinner but we couldn't stay there and got up, say now.
Arms open wide, run to his arms, run.